Blog Talk Radio.
In the final months of his life, former CIA agent Joseph Spencer gathered his family and told them he had many secrets he needed to share with the world in the form of a deathbed confession. At the time, he was dismissed by many as a conspiracy theorist, peddling far-fetched theories about secret societies and their plans for humanity. But in 2023, his deathbed confession is gaining renewed attention because everything he predicted is happening as we speak, like clockwork. One chilling prediction after another. The former CIA agent predicted some key things, including the pedophilia and child trafficking epidemic, the elite's obsession with depopulation, chemtrails, alien disclosure, and what he described as a modified flu virus that would be unleashed on humanity by the psychopathic elites. Does any of that sound familiar? But his predictions don't stop there, and it's his predictions for the year 2024 that are shocking those who are familiar with his work. Spencer began by describing the process whereby he was recruited and turned into a CIA super soldier with a mandate to kill and forget.
The senior black project director was William T. Lathan, who had worked under CIA executive director Richard Schlesinger. Lathan stated that I was the perfect candidate for my new position. I was a foster child, and I had no connections to existing relatives. I had no friends or social life. It was easy for them to erase my past and provide me with a new identity. I gave myself to them as a priest would to his God. But first, my mind had to be erased. I was injected with various forms of mind-altering drugs, LSD, heroin, mescaline, morphine, sodium pentothal, and more. Drug-induced hypnosis followed with antigrade and retrograde amnesia. The goal was to program me to do two things, kill and forget. After 9 months of programming, I have become a man in black.
The global elite have been planning to unleash the climate hoax and depopulate the world for decades. Long before most people had any idea of the agenda, Spencer and his colleagues were foot soldiers in this war against humanity.
In 1994, the World Population Summit in Cairo, Egypt, had 160 nations participate, where they all agreed that the human population was out of control and must be stopped because the world is running out of resources. An agreement was formed that would mandate the reduction of humans from 6 billion to 800 million by the year 2030. This meant finding a method or methods to wipe out nearly 95% of the population. Solutions were discovered, investigated, tested, been created and have been in full force since. The procedures have been inflicted onto the human race are as follows. 1. Toxic levels of chemically enhanced fluoride have been secretly added to our drinking water over the last 20 years in every city and community on the planet.
Well, I hope everybody can hear this because I don't know if you can or not. Usually it's stop and go with this thing. Either you can or you can't. I hope you can.
I oversaw the delivery of fluoride barrels to Denver, Chicago, Tampa, and Minneapolis water departments. The adverse effects of fluoride poisoning to the human body are numerous and debilitating. The effects to children is damage to their neurological development, among other serious ailments. 2. Man-made viruses and diseases. The AIDS virus, which was a designer byproduct of the American Disease Institute, was distributed through vaccines to the public in 1980. Instituted as a preliminary population control tactic, the results were successful and led to more lab-produced viruses that have since been unleashed onto the public. Among those is the development of a mutated version of the common flu to replicate the 1918 influenza pandemic that killed 40 million people. The first strain of this new flu virus will be released to the public in late 2017. So if we see a flu in the late 2017 or early 2018 that's killing people, we'll know this is true.
As it turns out, Spencer was only out by a few years. But there is plenty of evidence to prove the cabal was planning to unleash COVID on the world in 2017. but had to delay their plans following the election of Trump in 2016. Kayleen Georgescu, a former president of the Club of Rome and a former executive director at the United Nations, admitted as much. We made a video about it recently. Check it out. And if that isn't enough for you, the evil Dr. Mengele of our times, Anthony Fauci, was also caught bragging about a surprise virus scheduled for 2017.
There's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
According to Spencer, these surprise outbreaks and current events are not a coincidence, but part of a decades-long plan to bring about a depopulated post-industrial society in which the elites lock up and degrade humanity in vast open-air prisons. After this quick break, we'll expose the huge event that Spencer says the elite have up their sleeves to deceive the masses. The cabal have been perfecting systems of depopulation for decades, according to Spencer, who warns that population collapse in the Western world will be reaching critical levels by the early 2020s.
Killing us from the air with neurotoxins, barium chloride, cancer microbes, and viruses by way of chemtrails. Released into the skies daily over all inhabited regions by military aircrafts. The effects of these toxins are severe and over time lethal, causing respiratory ailments, cancer, damage to the immune systems, and sterilization in men. Since the chemtrail plan was implemented, sperm count in men has dropped nearly 50%. If this isn't reversed soon, the human race will face early extinction. Now the grand finale. This is some scary shit. In March 1997, an event known as the Phoenix Lights became the most infamous UFO sighting in history. A mile-wide vessel, clearly not man-made, flew slowly and silently over the state of Arizona and was witnessed by 10,000 people, including the governor of Arizona. To date, there has been no reasonable explanation. But for every witness interviewed, the craft was as real as anything they'd ever seen. Their lives were transformed, and I believe that we truly are not alone. However, there is another truth, for I know what they really saw. In 1986, while stationed at an underground installation near Boulder, Colorado, I was introduced to Project Skybeam by Lieutenant General Andrew Garris. I was then led down a corridor and into a large hangar where a stealth bomber hovered only 20 feet above me. I stood there confused. Then Garris looked over at me and smiled, then asked if I was certain of what I was seeing. I replied, of course. What else could it be? I was then shocked to find out that this wasn't a real craft. It was a projected hologram. Since the early 1950s, scientists have been developing holographic technology and over the years improved it to a state that we can only imagine. So I stood there staring at the bomber, which looked so absolutely real and solid that I could reach up and touch it. I contemplated the possibilities. What if this projection was 1,000 feet up in the sky? How would anyone know that that was an illusion? The Phoenix Lights craft, witnessed by 10,000 people, was the first grand-scale skybeam test upon the public. It succeeded beyond expectations.
According to Spencer, the elites have a huge event planned for 2024 that will alter the course of mankind's future, the creation of a one-world government and new world order. And if you've been keeping up with the propaganda broadcast recently by mainstream news outlets, you'll realize the elites have already begun laying the groundwork for this great deception.
In October 1938, Orson Welles unleashed his War of the Worlds radio broadcast to the American public. Though so realistically portrayed, vast portions of the population went into panic. Terrified citizens scrambled to evacuate their cities in droves. America had been easily tricked by very simple means. To amplify this response, those who are truly in power, not only our country, but all the countries on the planet, and who are the true purveyors of the depopulation process, have formulated the final stage of their sinister plan.
Sinister.
In the year 2024, a global event will alter the course of mankind's future. the world will stand witness to a massive alien invasion. Thousands of projected holographic alien warships will blanket the skies, sending people into a global panic. Real military crafts within the holograms will inflict actual damage to the surrounding areas to sell the gimmick. And as a result of the ensuing human chaos, a one-world government will immediately form without any resistance from the people. They will be the new world order. Once this happens, we as a people will be doomed to enslavement and accelerated depopulation. With that said, the only hope for human salvation is to acquire and spread the knowledge of these activities and agendas. Resist, retaliate, and conquer this imposing enemy. The time is now, as humanity is rapidly approaching its final days.
Brave men and women like Joseph Spencer have been coming forward and exposing the agenda of the elite for decades. Will you join these brave truth tellers in the fight for freedom, or will you cower in fear and submit to the demands of the global elites? The choice is yours. But whatever you do, don't underestimate the consequences of your choices.
Ooh. Little warning. How you doing, Piaki? Wake up. How you doing, Lucid?
That sounds like some Kathy and Daniel stuff.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Wow, we'll get to see all those UFOs coming up in next year. We'll see how it goes. Hope they can take a 30-06 shell, 220 grain, because they come over my house, I'm shooting them. I'm shooting a damn thing. I didn't mean to scare you off, Bianchi. I apologize. We got a lot of people on the switchboard. Push one on your thingamajigger, and I'll get you on, maybe. Yeah, you did talk about holograms, Lorianne. That's how I got Cinnamon. I used a hologram on a part of my body. He changed my name to Donnie Wad. Hey, it was a joke. Jesus. So the place sucks.
They're going to start calling you Donnie Wad, huh?
That's it. Donnie Wad. I used a hologram to get Cinnamon. She was mighty surprised. She was real surprised. Where'd it go? What happened to it? Well, anyway, can't have everything. Lorianne said there was a theory about 9/11 planes being holograms too. Those holes, though, I don't know. Those weren't holograms. I don't think a hologram can blow a hole in a building. I have been bombed with emails and telephone calls because of the UAW contract, strike. Holy mackerel, people are pissed off. Woo! Bianchi, I bet I got hundreds of emails and I don't know how many phone calls. I just stopped. I can't answer no more. Well, they don't understand. They put three plants on strike, and and I have to admit I didn't understand the logic. I still don't, but I do trust the president. I'm sure he's got a plan. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But the Jeep plant is on strike. And Wentzville, they're on strike. And what else? Something from 600, local 600. I don't know what it is. Final and Paint, they're on strike. I can't remember. Anyway, they, you would think if you're going to go on strike, you would take out the money makers, which are the pickup trucks, right? I thought, okay, he's gonna shut it down, these pickup trucks. But he didn't.
I know about the Winsfield. I played a major part in building that.
Oh, did you?
The power.
Oh. Yeah, well.
It used to be old man Johnson's land. We used to go out and old man Johnson used to provide us with two or three blackface every year. I take a half, another friend take a half, and four others take the other half.
Oh,
and that beef starts up about maybe a little bit over a dollar a pound back then.
A dollar a pound. Ooh, you won't see that again. I think we have Adrian. I'm not sure. It looks
Hello.
Like you're
in... How's everyone?
Hello, Adrian. How are you?
Hang
Hello,
in,
Adrian.
I want to make a color. Hey, now, Bianchi, you okay?
I am, yes. I'm happy to hear your voice. Good to know you're still kicking.
Oh, I've been listening to the show for the last 3 weeks.
Just she falls asleep.
But I want to make a correction. That's local 900.
Oh, 900.
Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, Michigan. It's MAP, Michigan Assembly Plant. And, you know, because I don't like to talk about our presidents, okay, that's the President of the United States, nor do I like to talk about Sean Fain, President of the UAW. I don't want to say anything negative. But we got a problem here. In Michigan, they didn't take the whole complex out.
I know.
And when you don't take a complex out, then you leave it open for game plan. So now you've got part of this complex that wasn't on strike, and now they've been laid off, and that's 600 members.
I believe that's the plan he was going for all along. I don't know. I tell you what, if I was the CEO and you shut down a part of the plant, the operation that's going to lay off the other half, I would just shut the doors and tell them you're on strike. You're done. And see after the strike. I don't...
You do that as a corporation?
Yes, as a corporation, I would do that. If you shut down one part of the operation, which is going to affect 600 people over here to cause a layoff that I'm going to have to pay, maybe. You're all on strike, people. I'll just lock the doors and I'll fight it out. I'll fight it out at the unemployment and in court because I'm not paying you unemployment.
That's correct.
That's what
in
I would do.
In the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
In the state of Michigan, you can't. But I just don't think the plan was maybe well thought out. But we have to see.
Yeah, we have to see. I tell you what, man, there's a lot of people waiting to see. I'm telling you the truth.
You do know that GM has laid off 2,000 in Kansas City.
Oh, I didn't know Kansas City yet. I didn't know they got Kansas City, no. I knew it was going to be something going on. I didn't think it'd be this soon.
Yeah.
Hello, Joseph.
But anyway.
Yeah. Wow, 2,000 people in Kansas City, huh? Damn.
2,000.
Yeah, here's the
I don't know what their laws are. You know, I don't know what their unemployment laws are.
Oh, I don't either.
Right. You know, because they're different from state to state.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know Michigan's half the time. Not anymore. I used to know them because you had to play that game.
Well, I used to be a part of a organization with the Michigan unemployment. It was called the International Personnel Employees Services. IAPES is what it was called. And I used to function with them. I was an honorary person with them. That's some years ago.
Well, every time I got laid off, you had to find five businesses or, you know, sign up or put in an application.
I remember that.
Yeah, I had a nice phone book, man. I was putting applications in Alabama, everywhere. Whoa. I was
that
a traveling man.
Got rid of phone books.
It might have been. That might be. It might be. Hell, who's going to hire you and you know you're going back to work? You know?
Right.
That was one stupid thing to do, you know, make people look for work when you know you're going back to the, you know, General Motors.
Right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Oh, my. Yeah. I tell you, they started leaving my phone in different places. Man, my phone was ringing. Just ringing. People pissed off. Want to know, what do you know about this? No more than you. No more than you do. I have no idea. I was as surprised as anybody else, but I'm going to trust my president, and we'll see how it works out.
Well, you know, we went on strike five basic trades in the St. Louis area was on strike, and it was 16. In 69, they were on strike for 16 weeks.
Damn, 69? Hell, I was only 14 years old.
And 16, yep.
I boomed out to Chicago for American Bridge working on the Sears Tower.
Wow.
Sears Tower? I don't even take an elevator up, let alone work on a Sears Tower.
Beyonce's telling us his age, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beyonce, I needed to know that. It's some other things I'm learning about you, but go ahead. Yeah.
Then we went on strike again, and I think 4 years later. Then we went to work now to Detroit, Bethlehem Steel.
Bethlehem?
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah.
They paid us lodging, food, travel expense. They were shortage of people in the trade. That was a fun
thing. Remember going by a sign or a plant. Oh, we getting some feedback all of a sudden, guys.
Yeah, I hear you.
Let me mute your phone for a minute, Adrian. Let me see if that's you, and it's you. Somehow Adrian's phone does that. And there's another person that calls in with their phone that does that.
Well, that's the president of UAW snooping in on Adrian.
You can bet he's
cheap-ass Comcast.
Wow. Hold on, guys. Something's going on here. Okay. Adrian, are you muted? Yes, you are.
Yes.
Wonder what that is. And it's only on a couple phones.
Well, that's probably them trying to monitor four or five phones at the same time to get crossed up.
Yeah. Well, they're keeping an eye on Adrian. I guarantee you that.
That's why I don't say too much.
I don't blame you. I know the last administration was definitely keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, they had a...
Yeah, well, I knew quite a few of them, so...
I think
oh, yeah.
General Motors strike when the Corvette plant was there in St. Louis on Natural Ridge and Union, then they moved down to Paducah.
Bowling Green. Now they're in Bowling Green.
Yeah, Bowling Green.
Yeah. Let me get Lori.
That was back when a brand new Corvette cost about $7,500.
Yeah, you could afford it.
You sure could.
Hello,
everybody. Happy
Hello,
Saturday.
Dear.
Hello.
Happy Saturday.
And
another Saturday in the park.
Yes, and happy Eve of Constitution Day.
Oh, yeah. Good
well,
job.
You haven't been woke too long, have you? Y'all up to about 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning talking.
Whoa. You guys stayed on that late last night?
No, Ron ended the show, when was it? I think it was like 11:30 or something like that, Pacific.
Okay. Well, that was a good show, I'll tell you that. It was a good show. I enjoyed listening to that. Sure did. I didn't quite understand Joe when he said...
Well, on Robert's show? Yeah, I saw that you were, I know that
yeah.
you were on Robert's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good show.
Yeah.
Joe Gibson and Sarge and then Pianki came on and yeah, it was great
yeah.
discussion.
I couldn't understand. Joe said, well, I got 7 more minutes to run the show and then I'm turning it over to Lorianne. I said, what going on? Jesus. Okay. What do you guys?
Oh, Montana Joe. I think he had something going on. He was going to moderate up to a certain point. I think he had something going on. And so then he turned the reins over to me, but then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert was able to join and then I turned the reins over to him.
Yeah. He couldn't find his phone. I remember that. Then I got out of the chat room and I could listen for a little more, you know, and all of a sudden it's been gone. So there you go. And remind me, I got to tell you guys something. I got to tell you, you know, I've got 2 rotator cuff injuries on both my shoulders. And that genie, you know, Nathan was telling us about that genie that you spray on and kind of helps. Well,
yeah, yeah.
I've got my bottle. I got 2 bottles. I got one without, one with, what is that called? What the hell is that? Hemp. One with hemp and one without. And I'll tell you what, I sprayed it on my shoulders. Boom. It stopped hurting. So, Jeannie, so far this stuff really works. And, I just want everybody to know I'm going to push this a little bit because it did. I got pain. Even my pain pills don't take care of, but this did. So next I'll try it on my back when I get to go outside when it stops raining, and we'll see.
What's the name of it?
It's this Genie.
Genie?
Yes, Genie. Where's my card? Yeah, Genie, like J-E-A-N-N-I-E. And it comes in a bottle, a spray bottle. It's it may help. It says it may help arthritis pain, inflammation, back and, let's see, what is that? I can't see. Neck and back pain, which it did help my neck and shoulder pain, restores blood flow, headaches, shingles, mosquito bites, cramps, skin irritations. And I tell you, it did all that. It took care of that for me. And It's not expensive, and it comes in two sizes, three sizes, actually. You can get a little travel if you carry one in your pocket if you want. It's small, and it's a medium size and a large size. And, man, I sprayed that stuff on my shoulders within, I don't know, 10 minutes stopped aching. So that's amazing to me.
So where do you get it from?
The print is so small on the bottle.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Find it.
Let me get my flashlight. I got my. Okay, www.genieinabottle.biz. Genieinabottle.biz, B-I-Z. And it works. It's fast acting. And it did. It was fast acting, that's for damn sure. So if you, two different kinds, one with hemp and one without. I used the one with hemp, and it worked great. So check it out if you got a pain, aching pain. Nathan was right. People were telling him how good this stuff was. So far, so good on me. Genie in a bottle. Wonder if I get a kickback for that.
Yeah, they should pay you for advertising for them.
Damn right. Hell yeah. A retired auto worker with pain. Gee, who would have heard of that?
You know, my grandson, he's working out in the field now.
Oh.
So, on the LPG plant, they're building a new one. So I bought him all clothes, just like we used to wear.
Oh.
All American pants with the ruler pocket on the side. And
jeez. Do they? I didn't even know they still made those.
The little loop that you hang your striker in, the lighting torch,
uh-huh,
if you have.
Yeah. Well, you got him set up.
Cambray shirt with the pearl buttons. American-made socks. American-made boots.
Damn. God bless America.
American-made gloves.
Very long to find the gloves?
No, you just... Hey, magic. It, the same people that make the gloves when I was, you know, doing.
Yeah, I remember the jeans, the pants.
All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
Brought to you by Pianchi. I didn't mean to make everybody quiet.
He came in at... one evening, Papa, I'm wore out.
He wore out, did he?
I say, well, no wonder you got brand new clothes on. You got to wear break them boots in. You ought to be wore out.
Break those pants, if I remember right, it'll take him about a month to get those broken. That's some heavy duty pants. That's I bought, what do you call those damn clothes? They were made in America. We used to be able to get them at the plant, and they were blue. Oh my God, it was stiff as hell. Stiff.
So I got a little flag. I got an American flag with a little stand. I said, you put this on your desk now.
That's right.
Pin, American flag, put that in your cap.
And if you get fired, we'll sue the hell out of the company. Now, my son works down in the Ford, down in, where the hell is Jackson, Tennessee. They're building a big, huge battery plant down there, Ford, the Blue Oval. And, man, they had a bad accident. Dismissed killing people, I'll tell you that. One of those huge, I don't even know what the hell you call the damn thing, fell from the ceiling. And he's in safety. So he'd been busy the last few days.
Fell from the ceiling, that sounds like an installation problem to me.
I was thinking, it looked like he sent me a picture and it looked like a huge vent type thing, about bigger than a bus. And that's what I was thinking it was. But man, it dismissed people walking. So he's been busy. He's been under some stress. But he's he's working with OSHA and all that down there.
Well, when something like that happens, they come in, start asking questions.
Oh, yeah. He's down there, and he's got to answer those questions, too. I don't even remember how many companies are working in this plant. He said it's just unbelievable how many people are doing different things from different plants or different organizations, different unions. Yeah, he enjoys it, though. So it's good job. Good job.
Probably all right.
What's that?
Probably a bunch of millwrights.
Yeah. 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 And pipe fitters, electricians. They brought a crew from Michigan down there. And he's had to write people up about, you know, you got to have your safety glasses on. I got wrote up a few times. I told them I didn't look cool in those damn safety glasses. Give me some wire frames and I'll wear them.
I used to have people, I remember one time we had a, I think of the doctor, he was working on a summer. I guess he wanted to help pay his tuition. We put him on a point where he had to hang off the building.
Yeah,
he quit.
Yeah, he did. He ain't stupid. I was painting. I got a job painting with a friend of mine. And it was like in, I don't know, April. It was colder than hell. Wind was blowing this big, big-ass house. And I get up on this ladder. I'm afraid of heights. I really am. And that wind blowing, and I'm trying to paint, and I'm freezing my ass off. It's time to take a break. I said, I quit. That's my break. I'm not getting up back on that ladder. That ladder started swaying. Oh, no. Not me. Not this kid. You guys have fun. Got anything for down below, I'll paint. Well, I was freezing, man. It was cold. I don't know.
Well, you know that plant out in Fenton, it closed. It was the first one in the area to close down. Then finally the Chrysler plant there in Fenton.
In Fenton?
44, yeah.
You talking about Fenton, Michigan?
No, Fenton, Missouri. You was living in Missouri then, weren't you?
Yeah, I've been to Missouri. Yeah. Cape Girardeau, Louisville, Marble Hill. Isn't it St. Francis River in Missouri? What is that noise?
No, that's Merrimack.
Seems like my ex.
That's Merrimack out there.
Well, there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the St. Francis, guess not. And
well,
it was beautiful.
St. Francis heard out west.
Oh, okay. Well, I got the wrong one then. I remember trying to throw a rock. He lived on you look down a big cliff, and there's a river, and I was trying to throw a rock across it and threw my arm out. Oh, my God, I couldn't lift my damn arm for 3 days. I didn't mean to stunt your growth, everybody, but that's okay. We got a lot of people on the switchboard. Push one if you got anything you want to say. But if your name is Warren, go home, because I'm not going to listen to your crapola tonight. You're giving old Warren a little heads up. I don't like hanging up on people, but he gives me a thrill when I get to do it. He just gets a thrill. Just a matter of time.
Last night, so he must be busy finding somebody else to hate. I don't know.
Oh, he might. He finds out Bianchi's back on. I don't know.
How about the sun plant there in Mississippi? Did they strike that too? I guess they didn't.
Not yet. No.
Big plant, man.
I met some people, they went to Spring Hill, and they wanted me to transfer down there, and I went down there for a week, and I didn't like it at all, because I didn't meet one management person, and the two team leaders, they could fire you or hire you. I said, are you kidding me? No. You know, if you want a job, you have to go through us. And I said, you goddamn, I don't want no part of that. It doesn't seem like a union to me.
Yeah, Mississippi is a right to work state.
Damn. Yeah, I said, nah, I'll skip it. I got a free, I was only 90 miles from home in Alabama, so that's why I took the trip in the first place. I let General Motors pay me, go home, see my mom and daddy, uncles and aunts, cousin Kathy. I talked to Daniel just a few minutes ago before the show came on, and my aunt's not doing too good, so I don't expect to hear from Kathy or Daniel tonight.
UAW membership used to be about a couple of million, wasn't it?
What's that?
UAW membership back in them days was about a couple of million, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Oh, God. You know, it was like over 100,000 people working in Flint alone and Detroit. I couldn't tell you. My uncle worked at the Cadillac plant in Detroit. And Boy, that's a place I wanted to work, because every year in the summertime, he'd get laid off about 6-7 weeks, sometimes even longer. And that's when I'd go and stay a couple of weeks when the Tigers were in town. So we'd go to all the Tiger games. And, man, and he never owned a car. He took a bus everywhere he went. And it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. He never did get a driver's license. Never had to. But those are the days back in those days, you could do that.
Yeah, they used to have the changeovers. It lasted about a couple of months, maybe. Changing the lines over to new production.
Yeah, and they were always changing Cadillac. All the time. So, yeah, he got some good time off. He did. You know, Tucker was in Michigan. I don't know if anybody knew that, but he was in Michigan. His wife is from the Detroit area. So that doesn't make Tucker all that bad.
And our border remains open to this day. So, of course, Tucker Carlson is right here. The clip that's going wild on Tucker Carlson from the speech, and there are a number of them, okay, to their great credit, the left is master of organizing. They're willing to set aside their differences for the sake of achieving a common goal. They don't argue with each other in public. They know their strength in numbers. Organizing is a path to power. You can spend billions of dollars on foreign policy theory that nobody actually supports. Doesn't matter. In the end, most governments are run by a small group of people with benefit without reference to what the majority wants. And then Tucker Carlson gets into the meat and potatoes of it. How does the right win? Two things you need to do: organize and speak with total honesty, clarity, and aggression. You need to act, and you need to recognize the stakes. Tucker Carlson talking about Donald Trump is what's really gone viral here in these clips, and why the elites hate Donald Trump. Check it out. I think you'll agree.
The reason in the order. It's not just that it's nice to say what you think and that it's essential to human dignity to be able to express what you really believe, though that is true. You cannot be a full citizen if you can't say what you think. You are instead a slave. If you're not allowed to say what you think, you are not a citizen, you are a slave. It's that simple. And you don't need physical shackles because you have them in your head already. So that is all true. But that's not why they're trying to control what you say. They're trying to control what you say because they know that if you say it, nothing will ever be the same. And this is exactly why they hate Trump. And it's not an endorsement of Trump, but it's just interesting since I've known, you know, I've watched the whole Trump saga and I've had various feelings at various times. I've been incredibly frustrated by Trump because honestly, who couldn't be? And then other times I've been totally inspired and excited. But the whole time I'm watching Trump, I'm thinking to myself, the core question which no one ever asks, which is, why do they hate him so much? I mean, honestly, why do they hate Trump so much? It's the talking. It's the talking. It's not because Trump's program is so radical. Are you joking? If this were 1985, he'd be like a center-left liberal. It's not radical at all. That's fascism? Are you joking? No. No, it has nothing to do with what he does. It has everything to do with the fact that for whatever reason, his brain is not entirely controlled by the people in charge. And because he's not entirely controlled, well, first of all, it tells you that everybody else is entirely controlled. If, like, Trump is the one they hate the most, like, what did Trump do wrong? I mean, you could say,
hey, business owners, you're making $1 million a year, and you want to go to $10 million, I'm going to do something for you.
Oh,
absolutely.
You're
going to
do something.
You can say, oh, well, she's orange or whatever. Okay, fine. But, like, has he really committed a crime so severe that we should send him to prison for the rest of his life? That's insane. And half the Republicans in Washington, probably closer to about 95%, would be very psyched if he went to prison for the rest of his life. So why is that? I'll tell you exactly why. I know, because I've watched this really carefully from Washington for his entire term and then the subsequent 3 years. They hate Trump because they fear Trump. And they fear Trump not because of what he might do,
but because what he might say. And at any moment, Trump might be autistic enough to tell the truth about what's actually happening. Whoa, wait, what's that? I was in D.C. when this started, and Trump had the greatest line I've ever heard. And no one even noticed it except me because I spent my life in Washington. But he was in, having some debate, and somebody said something about NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, post-war to prevent the Soviets from invading Western Europe. And Trump goes, what's the point of NATO? And I remember thinking, what a stupid question. What's the point of NATO? Everyone knows the point of NATO, like to prevent the Soviets from invading Germany. But I was like, but there are no more Soviets. That ended in 1991. So, like, what is the point of NATO? That's actually, and then I was thinking to myself, because I had been living in D.C., so I was, like, captured by the groupthink that does capture you if you live in a place long enough. I remember my wife, who grew up outside Detroit, being like, why would anyone buy a Japanese car? That's insane. You know, I mean, she just grew up here. To this day, she would never have a foreign car. Like, what? That can't really be better. You know, you're a product of the world you live in. So I'd never thought of, like, what's the point of NATO? And Trump said that. And I remember thinking, well, that's an entirely fair question. I'm sure there's a good answer. Anybody? No one can answer it. And instead, they attacked him like he was Hitler. And I remember thinking, like, why are you mad at him for asking what turns out to be a totally legitimate question? Maybe you've got a good answer. What is it? Shut up. Oh, shut up. That's your answer? Really? And it was that kind of thing. And it was the fear that he might say one of a thousand things that you're not allowed to say, which is pretty much everything at this point. And by the way, I'll stop with this and take your hostile questions, but if you want to know, this is, and I'm being completely sincere, what's true, the true things are the things that you can't say.
Well, I think he's about right, because I've always asked people, why in the hell don't, you know, you hate Trump. You always say you hate Trump. Why? A lot of times they just walk away, tell you to shut up or get effed. But some of them say, I can't stand listening to him. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I don't like what he tweets. Okay, that's fair. But what, you know, why does that make him a bad president? Well, I don't want to hear him another 4 years. Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. But it is, they're afraid of him. And I think we knew that all along, right, Bianchi? We knew that they were afraid of Trump because of what he might say.
Damn right.
That's right.
He don't need him for anything.
No. No. He doesn't owe them anything, and they don't owe him anything, and that's what makes them afraid of him. That's why the Republicans, a lot of Republicans, can't stand him, want him out.
That's why Nancy Pelosi is running again, because she got to be around to make sure that they don't come after her where she can't use her powers.
That's right. I believe you're absolutely right. I think if there was no Trump, I believe Nancy Pelosi would retire. If there wasn't a Trump, I think Mitch McConnell would get out right now instead of waiting in another year and a half. I think you're absolutely right. I think they're afraid. They get out, they lose their power. When they lose their power, they're vulnerable, and they know what they did. I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. There's some rhinos on both sides that need to go. And if you investigate these folks, you'll find out they've been ripping us off for decades. For freaking decades. There's no way Nancy Pelosi should have $270 million. Mitch McConnell, I don't even know where this dude's money comes. You know, he's connected with China. His wife, his father-in-law owns the biggest shipping company in China. So he's worth multi-millions. God knows how much. They never say how much he's worth. They always talk about Pelosi, but I would love to know. And Mitt Romney, he's not running again. But, you know, as he was saying, he's going to retire. He couldn't wait to trash Trump one more time. You know why he's trashing Trump and always has? Because Trump didn't put him in as the AG? I think that's what the job he wanted. They had a dinner before Trump took office, and Trump turned him down. And all of a sudden, Romney was totally against him. Just hated his guts. So you don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat. You don't. If you just open your eyes, you'll see both sides suck. Neither side really are for the workers. I can't think of the last time Democrats did anything for a worker. But then I see all these politicians up there dancing around, screaming in the microphone how great this is, like yesterday at the rally. Debbie Dingell, for God, she used to work for General Motors. Come on.
Romney's father.
What's that?
Romney's father.
Yeah, George Romney.
He was
the governor of Michigan in the 60s, and he was also the CEO of AMC.
American AMC, you're right.
Yeah, sure was.
Rambler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, my grandfather had a Rambler. And it lasted for God knows decades.
Now, Romney Jr., I can't think of the name of the company that he's involved with. On the tip of my tongue.
I don't know. What, three sons, two sons?
I don't think they're biologically his, though. I think he's the woman, the wife had, they're the wife's kids, I believe.
Oh, I don't know. I thought they were his kids.
He got about seven of them. All total.
Oh, I thought he only had two.
There's a lot of standing up there on the stage with him that one time.
Oh, well.
But they all are ripping off the United States. China is luring them in.
Oh, yeah.
With the bait.
That's why the NBA, I mean, my God, you can't say nothing bad about China. How about that basketball player? I think he started playing this past season in Boston, and he said some things about China that was not good for his career. They traded him, and the team, before he even got his sneakers on, they cut him from the team, just cut him. And nobody picked him up. Because you can't say nothing about China. Not a damn thing.
You mean none of the civil rights hawks didn't come to his aid?
No, hell no. And he was in the front office in Houston. Houston Rockets. He said something about Hong Kong when they were being overran with China soldiers and everything. He said something, and boy, he had to retract that. And a few months later, he was fired. They fired him. And even the NBA came out and apologized for his comment, because they want to be in China because it's, you know, how many billion?
Well, they
billion?
Want that market.
Yep.
And
they
things were done in order to create, a population of people with discretionary income, and they put a Chinese player in the NBA, which causes the Chinese to
have something to cheer for.
What the hell is his name, too?
Dennis Hahn.
That's it. Wow. Yeah, you can't say nothing about China. And if you're an actor or an actress, you can't say anything about China. Oh, hell no. That's a no-no. If you do that, your career is over. They want to make sure their movies get played in China. So, yeah, they got us by the tail, and they still make our medication, a lot of our medication. I know Trump was on a verge of getting that turned around and getting it, a lot of the blood pressure medicine and all that made in America before he lost the election. And I haven't heard anybody bring it up since. China, if China cuts us off, just look at what we wouldn't have any cars. We'd have to change our cars again because they make all the damn chips. Without the chips, you're not going to start the damn things. You're going to have to pull the computers right out of these vehicles.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back to the old points and distributor.
Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't that be nice? God, I remember. Yeah. Had an old six banger. Oh, Lord. You could change those spark plugs and condenser and spark plug wires in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is plenty of room, even with an air conditioner. Yeah, plenty of room. Hell, you could almost get inside the damn thing with the engine. You needed a starter, it'd be easy to take out. A battery, you almost have to go to a dealership to get a battery put in. Everything's so close.
I was with a friend. We was up the river there around, I don't know where we were.
I'm sending you up the river.
We wasn't up to Hannibal. I forget where we were. Winfield. Up by the Winfield Dam. Anyway, he was driving this old truck. And he went over the bump. And the coil wire to the distributor flopped out and fell on the ground. Anyway, he looked under there and said, damn, you missing that wire. So I said, don't worry. I know how to fix that. So I got an old dried out limb and wrapped it in electrical tape, right link, and I told him to piss on this. He said, what? I said, piss on it. Until it absorbed it, you know. He pissed on it. We stuck that in the distributor in the coil, fired the engine up, and drove on.
Oh. Damn, I never heard of that one, but I know it happens. And let me get 832. That sounds like a Texas number. And Skype. Bob, is that you?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it might be, but I ain't Bob. But, you know, I got something to say.
Okay, Sarge, you go right ahead, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot, boss. How you doing, Pion?
Hello,
you know, Sarge. Hey, how you doing, Laurie? Bianchi, I did that once with that fix you fix. Only I used some wet leaves and a clothesline. It didn't run all that great, but it did start.
Damn.
Well, we didn't have
and
to walk.
The field tied around a rope, shoved it in to take up the slack in the ignition, and it would ignite.
Yeah.
It didn't do that well, but it did run. Well enough to limp to an auto parts store where you get a coil wire to replace it.
Damn.
Well, I don't even think he even changed it. He might still be running with it today, but.
But I got something even, I think that's even cooler than that. Check this out. Representative Louis Gohmert.
Oh, my man.
Was voting,
Texas.
Huh?
From Texas.
Yes, sir. Like, he did a great thing today, man. I got to applaud him for it. He was noting how he was all the Democrats out there removing all the people that associated with slavery in the Confederacy, removing all the statues out of the gallery of anybody that had any association with the Confederacy, the military leaders, the political leaders, and so on and so forth. And he said, in that spirit, I am making a proposal for Congress to ban the Democrat Party because it would not have been possible for slavery to go to the extent that it did and assume the course that it did in the United States, to say nothing of Jim Crow, had it not been for the Democrat Party. And he put it forward as an official proposition on the floor. Now, you know it's going to fail. But
yeah.
The point of the matter is that it's out there officially from a member of Congress to be voted on the floor of Congress. I loved it.
Oh, I love that guy. I love Louie. Little Louie.
I like Louie, man. Love was outstanding. I said, you go, boy. Outstanding.
I'll be damned.
He said, he argued that the Democrat Party's past actions are incompatible with the principles of equality and justice. And there's now a big debate among the people in the House of Members and the House of Representatives about this. He cited this historic part of slavery, racism, and the Ku Klux Klan. All he did was cite accurate history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. A lot of people don't know that. But yes, he did. I thought Louie retired.
No, he's still there. Still in the first district.
You know, good for him. Good for him. I remember him. He got in trouble. He had an apartment with a balcony, and he was grilling, and that was against the apartment building. And he got some kind of ticket, and he was bitching about that.
You know, given the fact that, you know, Democrats are so hyped up about the past history of the United States and how the United States have had the complete accounting for its past history, that's all they tell us every day, noon and night, almost 24 hours a day. It needs to be the complete accounting for this country's shameful, racist past. Well, look here. I think we need to especially make more black people aware precisely of the racist history of the Democrat Party, the party of the Confederacy, Ku Klux Klan, slavery, and Jim Crow. There ain't no doubt about it. It's for sure enough officially theirs to own.
Yeah, and the first party, Democrat Party, Pulaski, Tennessee, started the KKK. The first KKK membership was in Pulaski, Tennessee.
They were all Democrats. One Republican and a bunch.
No, not a Republican one. Not a bit. No, man. Yeah, a lot of folks don't know that because you don't get taught that. I didn't get taught that in school. Maybe some people did. I was just watching a tape last week, and it was a history on history, and the first slave owner was a black slave owner. He owned a plantation, and he bought the first slaves. And I forgot his name, but they said he was the first slave owner in the United States. I think it was in Tennessee or Georgia. And I said, man, I didn't know that. But there was a lot of black slave owners, a lot of black owners.
No, the first officially judicially adjudicated case of someone making a claim on a slave was a gentleman named Anthony Johnson, who made a claim for a slave named Kasor. He had been bought to Virginia colony as an indentured servant. He served out his contract. After he served out his contract, he acquired a slave who had claimed he had become a free man. And Anthony Johnson said, no, he wasn't, went to the courts in Virginia to have the matter adjudicated. And the courts ruled in Anthony Johnson's favor and said, no, you are indeed a slave, and you have to stay with your master. So the first officially adjudicated case of a dispute about a slave was to a black slave owner in the 17th century in the Virginia colony.
No.
And not the United States, but in North America, because there was no United States then. But that was the first officially adjudicated case involving slavery on a North American continent.
Wow, I didn't know that. Did not know that. I love history. I like history when it's right. When it's true history, because I sure as hell wasn't taught true history. And you can't erase
name was
history.
The name Casor, Casor.
Yeah, what about all the blacks that got free land for sponsoring settlers to the country?
Sponsoring what? Who?
For settlers that they sponsored to the country from England.
Well, I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to pay a tax, and as a result of it, they could have them stay in indentured servitude, and they paid off the $50 tax that it cost them to sponsor them.
They got 50 acres of land for every one.
Damn.
That's right.
50 acres?
Some accumulated 900 acres in that ordeal.
Jeez.
You know, Sean, it's funny how blacks always claim that they didn't teach us our history. Well, here, Donnie, who's supposed to be the days, he don't know about it either.
I didn't know about it.
Well, see, that's why we can't let Marxists take over the teaching of history, because they're very selective in what they choose to teach. They want to teach this nation has an unrelieved history of racism, oppression, and genocide, and nonsense like that, and there's nothing else really to say about it. And if that's why the only thing some people know is about what is bad about this country, and nothing at all what is either good or aspirational. And that's what irritates the hell out of me about these so-called historians. I don't mind them telling bad things that are true, atrocities that actually happened, you know, and the warfares and everything else, and the Indian Wars and all that other stuff. I don't mind. As long as you're accurate with the best historical data available, fine, tell it. But they want to keep it on that track, man. That's why so many people today say they're not proud to be American citizens. You ought to be grateful to be an American citizen, not proud. Just be grateful you're an American citizen. You could have been born somewhere else or taken somewhere else. As bad as it is right now with this cacistocracy that's governing us right now. Still, you ought to be grateful you're here.
That's right. You are right about that.
I can't understand why they're not, given the quality of the teaching they're getting in universities and in public schools. I'm not at all surprised to hear people say the things they say. I'm not proud of my country, and I don't think being an American is all that great. And you know, America was never really great, and all that nonsense. And everybody's mama in the world wants to come here. I mean, they just didn't get the message, I guess. Despite all the talk about racism and everything else, they just don't seem to believe it. They're coming across the border by the millions.
No, you're right. You are right. People are people just don't know. I'm trying to find a tape now from Google. Hold on, maybe this is it. Somebody sent me this. This is the president, Weingarten, president of the union, AFT union, teachers union.
The same kind of roots that happened in the aftermath of Brown v. Board. Those same words that you heard in terms of wanting segregation post Brown v. Board of Education, those same words you hear today. It's not... You know, I was kind of gobsmacked when I was talking to Southern Poverty Law Center, and they showed me the same words, choice, parental rights, and attempt to divide parents versus teachers. In that point, it was white parents versus other parents. But it's the same kind of words. But the goal is, if you listen to DeVos, if you listen to a Christopher Rufo, if you listen to the guy Ferris, who has brought a lot of these cases, some alliance that is called that has democracy and freedom in the words. If you listen to them, what they really want is the end of public education as we know it.
You damn right. I want to end it as we know it. It sucks. She is totally against parents doing and having anything to say about their children going to school and what they learn. She's totally against it. And then she's bringing up this thing, Southern Poverty Law. Well, what a joke they are. What a freaking joke they are. Showing, you know, it's got the word choice in there. You know, you can't have choice. That's racist. Why? Why in the hell is that racist? I'll never understand these people. And how in the hell? These people are my age, and they're coming up with this bullshit, and I don't understand it. I just don't understand why are they doing this? They know that they're wrong. They know they're wrong. They weren't brought up that way.
She used choice to send her kid to a private school.
Well, hell yeah. Damn right. You bet your ass that her kids hasn't gone to no public school. Hell no.
And if they didn't keep those kids, in those environments, the teachers wouldn't make any money. They wouldn't have money to pay their dues to the teachers union.
You know what? They would have to be teachers and actually teach students. Teach them and not this crap. But see, you'd have to go to college and change all that too, because they're learning all this crap in college also. So these people are coming out of college and going right into these schools and teaching the same crap that they just learned in college.
Well, see, a lot of that goes back to the families where there's no authority there. And them kids take that lesser respect for authority to the school.
Well,
me, you, and Sarge probably couldn't teach one of them classrooms. If you look at that one documentary about 60 Minutes, a national disgrace, talking about this school in Detroit.
Detroit, yeah.
And there's a lot of them like that.
Yeah, Detroit definitely the only one.
And then again, you do have functional families that's marginal and even poor, where when they send their child to school, their child knows what they should know, probably more than what they should know the first day, and they are there to learn, eager to learn. But if you put that child in an environment where the rest of the class, a lot of the class is not, then that child never does learn anything.
No.
Actually, it's held back.
No, I agree. That's why I'm telling you, that's like in Flint. They want to be able to pick the school that they want to send their child to. They want choice. And the politicians, they get on these TV shows and lie their ass off saying, no, the parents, they don't want choice. They don't want their kids staying on a bus for an hour and a half. Come on, an hour and a half. Give me a break.
Well, yeah, that was some ignorance in that too. Hell, they had a thing in St. Louis where they created magnet schools trying to entice white kids from the county to come back into the city. And a magnet school building had to have a certain percentage white in it before they would let one black kid in it. And their own union, they had a school between Delmar and Page that was like that. And you had black kids that stayed across the street from the school and couldn't go to it.
Oh, man.
Because it didn't have enough whites in it. Talking about the ignorance. Well, sooner or later, they'd done away with that. But hell, when black kids moved out of the city into the county, they couldn't come back into the city as a magnet student. So that was your affirmative action.
Wow. You know, now their homeschool moms are being compared to the KKK. They're on the same list.
You mean the Democrats militia? I swear to God, man, these people call it KKK. See, that's why, you know, that's why I just can't wait until somebody establishes conclusively, historically, that the KKK was the citizen militia of the Democrat Party. I mean, so many people are in denial about that. It's almost amounts to cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. You know, in the South.
And they use all the time to smear their opponents, and it's their party that created it and condoned it and protected it.
Howard University in D.C. has a black historical black college. And the problem that they have was that kids was coming to their school, enrolling, and couldn't carry the course load. So what they done, they started a middle school, and they ran that middle school in order to make sure that those young people could carry the course load. Well, you had some teachers, I don't know how many, they wanted to get on that black history kick and was spending a lot of time on that. So the university fired them. And rightfully so. They were going beyond protocol. The object of was to get those young people whereas they could carry the course load, because at any given time, you only have 5 historical black colleges that has a graduation rate above 50% in 6 years, Donnie. 6 years. Well, what does that say? That means that the family or the tuition for their child is going to be 50% more than what it should be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And here we go with the loans and that. And then the course, the degree that they get, does not gander the type of wage and salary that produces discretionary money where they can pay that loan off fast. Then we have what Joe Biden was proposing, college loan forgiveness. Well, what did that say to people like Sarge? You probably pay out of his pocket to send his kids to school. Sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Do without.
Well, there's a lot of people, you know, was raising hell about that, Bianchi. On both sides of the aisle, people, you know, there's Democrats, you know, not all of them went to school. They don't want to pay for somebody that did get to go to school. They don't want to pay their freight. Hell no.
Yeah, then they have all these different schemes. Spotting black kids with as much as 310 points on the SAT stats before they even sit down to take the test.
See, that's what pisses me off, and that's, I don't ever hear this from the you know, these black pundits on TV. They make their own race look stupid, and they're not stupid.
Yeah.
You're not smart enough to even get an ID, for God's sakes. That really pisses me off when they get on TV and start spouting this crap.
Hispanics was spotted by 270. White student was spotted 0. Asian student was spotted -140.
-140. Wow.
Even before they sit down and take the test.
Yeah.
And, you know, they used to complain that if you just leave the agents alone, they'd occupy all the damn classrooms because the kids work hard. I mean, it's an expectation amongst their family members. Same way it is with Nigerians. It's an expectation.
I
they have the highest education attainment And then you have schools like Cornell where you have the Black Student Union complaining to the administration, you're letting in too many Africans. Well, they scans black.
Jeez. Yeah, I watched a documentary, two of them, one on Japan and China, about their school system. Yeah, they work their butts off, those kids. They really do. They work hard. And that's the main thing when they're growing up is school and learning.
Man, you talk about the professional sports association, NBA and NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the kids that expend their whole life trying to make it to the big stage, whereas you have only probably, 1.5% of all college students make it to that point, the same in the NFL. And then when they get there, their life expectancy is very, very short. But all the parents had taken them to travel teams, bought equipment, practice, but they weren't doing no homework.
No, you're right. They weren't doing any homework, but they were good in sports. And that's all that mattered. I can't think of the basketball player. This is about 20 years ago. He graduated from college and could not read. Could not read. He said, I didn't even know what... He came out and said, I couldn't read when I graduated college. And he said, I couldn't even read my contract. I had to have my daddy read it to me. That's sad.
Yeah, you have powerhouses there in the St. Louis area, like the East St. Louis Flyers. And the coach was Bob Shannon. He was a national powerhouse. But, you know, as today you look at their proficiency in reading and math, it's less than 1%. You have a high school of 9 to 12 with 1,200 students. Graduation rate is about 40%. Yeah, that means what, about 480 of them won't even graduate, that enter into ninth grade? Maybe not that many.
I don't know, Bianchi. See a lot of kids, used to see a lot of kids that should have been in school hanging out. Smoking cigarettes.
There's nothing wrong with sports, but you got to have a balance. And then if the student is not maintaining his grades, then he don't play on the team.
Oh, I know. I played baseball in school. I had to have every week I had to have teachers sign off on a paper. I can't remember what it was called now, but I had to turn it in to the coach every Friday. Every Friday.
Now that is amplified across the country. That's not just with black population. White population suffer with it too. Now what do you have? You have a national security issue. Because you got other factions, that's because they want the money. You have a lot of Asians, Chinese students in these schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're bringing in illegals and putting them in the elementary schools. Their parents have never paid a dime toward the school system.
Right.
And on top of that, they got to produce an extra class, English as a second language, because they can't speak English.
It's one thing about China and Japan. When you're in school, you're obligated to learn English. You've got to know two languages. They get screwed in.
You have a lot of English Americans, not English American, Asian Americans, Chinese Americans. They're the one that's probably going through these deals of buying up this land and stuff, farmland.
Oh, they're buying it. They are buying it. That's one thing DeSantis stopped them doing in Florida, is buying up land. Good for him. Where in the hell did Sarge go? It got awful quiet.
Oh, I'm still here. I'm just taking a look at something that I want to tell you about and make sure I got it right before I do.
Oh. All right. You go right ahead, because I know you disappeared.
I'm listening. Keep on.
Okay, brother. Nancy Pelosi was ambushed in her office. I don't know. It wasn't her office. She was doing a speech. Man, she got ambushed pretty bad.
Say it ain't so. Boy, Nancy Pelosi is in hot water. She's in hot water. Now, this one here said that Nancy Pelosi ambushed. She just got ambushed by illegal immigrants, and she ends her event in pure panic. This right here coming by Benny. I will leave the original video down below in the description. Make sure y'all click in the description. Go check it out, and let's see exactly what happened, boy. I'm telling you, because some of them statements that she made yesterday, we was not falling for. We like, what? Are you serious, Nancy Pelosi? Or are you serious about them words that you are saying? So, you know, we all called her out on it about what she about the stuff she was saying about Kamala Harris. Like, come on now. We ain't falling for that, but we're going to go ahead and check this out. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel. Shout out to everybody showing so much support. Everybody's leaving positive comments in the comment section. And I also want to thank everybody who clicked on this video for the very first time. I appreciate you as well. Without further ado, y'all, let's dive straight into this and let's see exactly what happened to Nancy Pelosi.
Now, I want everybody to know these are illegal people. The balls these people have.
Never ask.
Did you know that there's a simple combination of natural ingredients that will help you poop out pounds of old rotten waste in your colon within just...
You are a liar! You are a liar! You are a liar!
Very important people.
I'm my head! My head! My head!
We are immigrant youth!
We are immigrant
youth! Undocumented and unafraid!
Undocumented and unafraid!
We are the immigrants!
We are immigrants!
You know, any other country would have these people in chains on a plane back to their original country.
Yeah, but they're telling the truth. They're calling her a liar, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what.
Absolutely.
I'll take a pair of them balls.
Yeah.
Hey, do they have any extra balls? Because we could distribute some. We know some people that need some damn balls.
Well, the older I get, the bigger mine gets. So I got plenty of balls. I don't need any more. I found what Sarge was talking about with Texas Representative Louie, my man.
Raising a question of the privileges of the House. Whereas on July 22nd, 2020, House Resolution 7573 was brought to the House floor for a vote with the purpose of eliminating 4 specific statues or busts from the United States Capitol, along with all others that include individuals who, quote, served as an officer or voluntarily with the Confederate States of America or the military forces or government of a state while the state was in rebellion against the United States, unquote. Yet failed to address the most ever-present historical stigma of the United States Capitol. That is the source that so fervently supported, condoned, and fought for slavery that was left untouched, but without whom the evil of slavery could never have continued as it did to such extreme that it is necessary to address here in order for the U.S. House of Representatives to avoid degradation of historical fact and blatant hypocrisy for generations to come. Whereas the Democratic Party platform of 1840, 1844, 1848, 1852, and 1856 states, quote, that Congress has no power under the Constitution to interfere with or control the domestic institutions of the several states, and that such states are the sole and proper judges of everything appertaining to their own affairs, not prohibited by the Constitution, that all efforts of the abolitionists or others made to induce Congress to interfere with questions of slavery are calculated to lead to the most alarming and dangerous consequences, and that all such efforts have an inevitable tendency to diminish the happiness of the people and endanger the stability and permanency of the Union, and ought to, not to be countenanced by any friend of our political institutions, unquote, again from the Democratic Party platform of those years. Whereas the Democratic Party platform of 1856 further declares that new states to the Union should be admitted, quote, with or without domestic slavery as the state may elect, unquote. Whereas the Democratic Party platform of 1856 also resolves that, quote, we recognize the right of the people of all the territories to form a constitution with or without domestic slavery, whereas the Fugitive Slave Law of 1850 penalized officials who did not arrest an alleged runaway slave and made them liable for a fine of $1,000, which is about $28,000 in present-day value. Law enforcement officials everywhere were required to arrest people suspected of being a runaway slave on as little as a claimant's sworn testimony of ownership. The Democratic Party platform of 1860 directly, in seeking to uphold the Fugitive Slave Act, states that, quote, the enactments of the state legislatures to defeat the faithful execution of the Fugitive Slave Law are hostile in character, subversive of the Constitution, revolutionary in their effect, unquote. The Democratic Party platform again. Whereas the 14th Amendment giving full citizenship to freed slaves passed in 1868 with 94% Republican support, 0% Democratic support in Congress. The 15th Amendment giving freed slaves the right to vote passed in 1870 with 100% Republican support and 0% Democratic support in Congress. Whereas Democrats systematically suppressed African Americans' right to vote by the specific example in the 1918 Constitution of the State of Virginia.
Did you know that there's a simple combination of natural ingredients that will help you poop out pounds of old rotten waste in your colon within just a matter of days, and without the side effects commonly associated with laxatives? In the last year, hundreds of thousands of people have jumped on this and are effortlessly dropping pounds of excess poop weight without needing to do things like dieting, more exercise, or counting calories. Now, all that rotten, toxic poop is just sitting inside most of us every day, and it simply needs a little help to flush it out. This is a new powerful natural colon cleansing supplement that's helping men and women effortlessly drop pounds and pounds of toxic poop waste within a matter of days. This is
actually disenfranchised about 90% of the black men who still voted at the beginning of the 20th century and nearly half of the white men, so they suppressed Republican voters as well. The number of eligible African-American voters were thereby forcibly reduced from about 147,000 in 1901 to about 10,000 by 1905. That measure was supported almost exclusively by Virginia Democrats. And whereas the Virginia 1902 Constitution was engineered by Carter Glass, the future Democratic U.S. Representative, Senator, and Secretary of Treasury under Democrat President Woodrow Wilson, who proclaimed the goal of the Constitutional Convention as follows, quote, this Democrat exclaimed, quote, discrimination. Why, this is precisely what we propose. That's exactly what this convention was elected for, to discriminate to the very extremity of permissible action under the limits of the federal Constitution with a view toward elimination of every, and I won't use his word, but African-American voter who can be gotten rid of legally, unquote, which was said by a Democrat and applauded by his fellow Democrats. Whereas 1912, Democratic President Woodrow Wilson's administration began a racial segregation policy for U.S. government employees, and by 1914, the Wilson administration civil service instituted the requirement a photograph be submitted with each employment application. And whereas the 1924 Democratic National Convention convened in New York City at Madison Square Garden, the convention commonly was known as the Klan Bake due to the overwhelming influence of the Ku Klux Klan in the Democratic Party. And whereas in 1964, the Democratic Party led a 75 calendar day filibuster against the 1964 Civil Rights Act, whereas leading the Democrats in their opposition to civil rights for African Americans was a member of the Democratic Party, Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia, who was a known recruiter for the Ku Klux Klan. Whereas Democrats enacted and enforced Jim Crow laws and civil codes that forced segregation, restricted freedoms of Black Americans in the United States. Whereas on June 18, 2020, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi ordered the removal from the Capitol portraits of four previous speakers of the House who served in the Confederacy, saying that these portraits, quote, set back our nation's work to confront and combat bigotry, unquote. The men depicted in the portraits were Democrat Robert M.T. Hunter, Democrat Howell Cobb, Democrat James L. Orr, and Democrat Charles F. Crisp. Resolved that the Speaker of the House of Representatives shall remove any item that names, symbolizes, or mentions any political organization or party that has ever held a public position that supported slavery or the Confederacy from any area within the House wing of the Capitol or any House office building, and shall donate such item or symbol to the Library of Congress, and two, that any political organization or party that has ever held a public position that supported slavery or the Confederacy shall either change its name or be barred from participation in the House of Representatives. With that, I would yield back.
Jordan Paceman, swoosh, and that's the game! Nothing further, Your Honor.
All right, that's Louis Gohmert from Texas. Well, there you go.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm against taking down some statues like that of Robert E. Lee, because he was a hell of a soldier and done a lot to establish West Point.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't care. It's history. Learn about it. It's not going to hurt you. That's what kills me about these. Every time I see it, it hurts me. No, it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt you at all. Jesus. I hear that crap, and I just want to, I get sick. Oh, and these pundits on TV. Oh, my God. I walked by Robert E. Lee, and I just, all the history comes flooding back, and I feel nauseous, and I just, it needs to go. It just needs to go. Oh, shut up.
I agree with y'all, man. But here's the thing, though. These Democrats are so relentlessly determined to erase history. They're just determined to erase history. You know, and it shouldn't be done by anybody. It should never be done like the way they're doing it, with intimidation and bullying and intellectual falsehoods. It just shouldn't be done that way, but they're doing it. I think Gohmert's doing it simply to show them where it can eventually go, and I'm hoping what it'll do is restore some sanity about history and put everything in proper context and not take down a damn hell. They took down Theodore Roosevelt from outside the Museum of Art in New York.
In New York,
Theodore Roosevelt.
I know.
And this is crazy, this crazy woke insanity. I mean, if Louis Gohmert can call attention to it, so much the better. No, it shouldn't be done. But these Democrats are forcing it on us. These Democrats are crazy.
Well, I agree.
Somebody's got to show them where their insanity can lead. They need a taste of their own medicine.
You know, like they talk about Donald Trump's father, is it? Grandfather?
Yeah. His father.
Talk about his father.
Yeah. Well, wake me up when they put a statue to his father in the Capitol, okay? Meantime, they have it.
Oh, my. Oh, Lord, it's never going to happen. And they make such a big deal out of Donald Trump getting a loan from his father.
Oh, man.
They make a huge deal out of this. Well, look what he did with that money. Good Lord.
They didn't want to put up a statue. They want to put up a statue in the Till. But did they tell a history of Emmett Till's father?
Emmett Till. Boy, that's a story. That's a story.
They don't tell the story of his father.
No. He was convicted at a court-martial of murder and rape.
Over in Italy.
No. That's
and he was physically abusive to his wife and his mother to the point where he had a restraining order to stay away from her. He used to beat the heck out of her.
Yeah,
where are the women at that's for women's rights? Ain't no place to be hurt.
Yeah, but Pianchi, that's the father. That's his father. That has nothing really to do with this poor young man.
Well,
so then why are they talking about Donald Trump's father so much then? You're right. It shouldn't. But the thing of it is that these Democrats, they are literally associating living Americans today for the sins of some of their ancestors.
Well, yeah.
That's why I say these Democrats are insane. They're tyrannical. They're demented. We need to give them a taste of their own medicine. Not because objectively it's the right thing to do. It's like warfare. Warfare is never right. I mean, you get people killing, but sometimes you just have to fight.
Yeah.
Because the enemy don't give you no other choice. These Democrats are not giving us much of a choice. They control the media. They control Hollywood. They control academia. They control the press.
Hmm.
We got to fight back in whatever way we can. These people are destroying this country. They're destroying its ideals. They're destroying its principles. They are cheapening debate. They're destroying reason itself.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They are. They're tearing up. They're destroying our cities. And these are the cities, folks, that George Soros and his organization has dumped a lot of money to put these prosecutors in office. And that's, I tell you what, they did a taping in Walmart in San Francisco. Every aisle, everything was locked down. You had to get somebody to come and open it for you. Every aisle. I could not believe it. Everything. I mean, everything from a pair of socks was in lockdown. And he went to, the guy went to, I think it was a Rite Aid, and everything was locked down. Same way. Unbelievable. Because
they
can build up to 900
and their policies that have created this situation directly.
You know, you got to wonder why this moron, this Soros gets away with this. You know, the taxpayers, United States taxpayers, gives his organization money. I don't know if anybody knows that, but it's true. We give his organization cash, millions. And he turns around and buys these prosecutors that will not prosecute anybody. And then Democrats say, well, the police aren't doing anything. Well, why should they risk their life? Why should they risk their life get this person put in jail for the night? And the prosecutor said, let him go. We're not doing anything. $950 they can steal in California. They can just walk into a store, get a cart, pile the crap up, and just walk right out the door. Not a damn employee will do a thing about it because they'll get fired if they even touch the person. Just pisses me off, and you wonder, I mean, God. Then you see these people, these people are stoned out. They're just stoned, and they're just, a lot of them got their pants down.
It's isn't just, that insurance fraud?
What's that?
When you're on Tempest, isn't that subjected to insurance fraud when you don't attempt to stop the crime, stop the loss that ends up being a claim?
You know, you might be right. I don't know. I don't know. But I can't imagine the insurance company paying off on this. I can't imagine.
Well, they pay off on the loss now.
No,
they
no.
pay off on the loss.
If you let them get away with it, can you imagine what their insurance a policy is? How much that shit costs? Can you imagine?
It reflects right back down. It reflects Woo. Right down into the price of the food.
Sure. Absolutely. These two white hogs had two big gold carts full of meat. Just meat. That's all it was. Piled high. And they had to hold the top on the cart to keep the meat from falling out. Just throwing it in the trunk. And this guy was taping them going, you really need it that bad? Do you really? They didn't even look up. They didn't care. They've got hundreds of dollars worth of meat. Just hundreds of dollars worth of meat. And, God, just amazing how can this be right? Nobody thinks this is good.
But then you got other people standing in line to pay for their stuff.
Yeah. Standing in line watching these people just run right out of the store with hundreds of dollars worth of damn merchandise. And Home Depot, I told you a couple of weeks ago when two brothers, they had their little mask on and they pulled it down. You could see who they were. They looked just like each other. They had carts in Home Depot piled up full of looked like drills and whatever else. And
Milwaukee
they had,
too.
Yeah, that's right. It was Milwaukee, and they locked all that stuff down now because they couldn't touch them. But I bet you they had. Well, there was two brothers with two carts, so maybe they didn't have $950 worth of stuff, but they were damn close. The Home Depot was
now
losing
robbing,
hundreds of dollars a day.
Now they're robbing the postal workers, the mailman, taking his keys to the mailboxes.
Oh, really? Damn, I didn't hear that. Wow.
Heck, at one time, that was one person you didn't want to mess with. Them and the railroad.
Well, it's a federal offense. And they don't play. They usually didn't play. I don't know what the hell the rules are now. Things change.
Hell, they busting the mailboxes open, taking the letters. I had two letters that was supposed to have been destined. And I'm looking for the checks to clear. I said, damn, what's going on here? Come to find out, the box that I dropped them in right there at the post office had been vandalized.
Vandalized. My God. Jesus. That's pretty bad. That's pretty low if people realize that's a federal offense messing with the mail. You go bye-bye
well,
for a long time. That ain't got nothing
Garland
to do with morals.
As Garland at the DOJ, ain't nothing going to happen to him.
Well, you got a point. You got a point. Geez, can you listen to that Garland just lie? And they're showing a tape of these people just flowing, just freaking flowing over the border. And he's just saying, no, we got it under control. We have deported more people than any administration ever has.
He's a wimp. He's a wimp.
Can you imagine him on the Supreme Court? The luckiest thing in the world is Mitch McConnell finally did something right, keeping this guy off the damn court. I mean, he's not going by the Supreme Court. I mean, Supreme Court. He's not going by the Constitution. Nothing. He's not going by nothing. They're making their own rules. And I'm not blaming Biden, because Biden's not running this thing. I don't know who it is, but it isn't Biden. Somebody's running.
Well, it was a clever long-term tactic that they used. And the key thing was to produce a populace that was ill-informed of the Constitution and civic duties. They don't know what they are.
I think one thing, Bianchi, is when Trump was elected, I think he shed a light on a lot of things that woke a lot of people up. I'm hoping. We got about 3 minutes left. Go ahead, Lori Ann, tell us about your show, my dear, if you're still here, awake. I should say shows. She's quite popular. She's got, she's multiple, I can't even speak now. She's on, I don't know how many shows, 4 or 5, 10, 15. Bianchi, call
back.
I was
away from my phone.
Well, you know you got.
I was away from my phone. Yes. Yeah, tomorrow, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann every Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Definitely tune in. It's Constitution Day tomorrow, so I'll talk a little bit about that, and then, of course, the latest tyranny and goings-on, so current events and everything. So, yeah, it should be a good show. Anybody
yes.
that's listening, you're invited to call in. And it'll then be- on Friday night, I co-host Robert's show on Conservative Nation Media. And so check him out on Friday nights as well, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, that I co-host. And then Joe Gibson, I think Joe Gibson, I'm not sure if he's on the line, but I know he's in the chat.
Yeah.
Joe Gibson's show, he has a good show on Tuesdays as well, 7 p.m. usually, Eastern time, 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
So, yeah, we got lots of good people.
And a lot of good shows,
yeah.
too. Last night's show was awesome. And Joseph has got a damn good show on Tuesday night also. So check all that out. And Lori Ann, damn good show. When you get Sarge on there and you got Bianchi and Nathan and John Doe, you can't help but learn something. So if you like learning.
Yep.
That's a
and then when
start.
Gunslinger makes his way on, too, he's
yeah.
a good
Gunslinger.
Kind of a more newer listener that tunes in now. And, yeah, so it's
yeah.
we got a nice, good group going.
I remember Gunslinger from years ago. Years ago. I listened to him.
Yeah, he's so, genuine, eh?
Yeah, he is. 100% USA. You bet. Just like the rest
I think
of
he's
us.
Got- I guess he's got a USDA choice stamped on
right
his chest.
Right stamped on his ass. I'm sure it's there. We'll let Lori Ann check his ass for that stamp. I'm sure it is somewhere. In...
I don't want to get a reputation as being an ass checker.
Yeah. Well, that was good. That was pretty good.
Sounds
like
I work at a prison or something. Bend over.
Yeah. Nah.
Got any contraband up there?
There you go. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. If you'd like to join, push 1 on your keypad, unless your name is Warren, and then you can just keep listening. But
you know,
yeah.
You talk about Robert Byrd. Didn't Biden do a eulogy at his funeral?
Yeah, he did. And I know Hillary, that was her mentor. Yeah, they all bawled. Yeah, and Hillary got the Margaret Sanger Award. So, but nobody knows
well,
who she
not
is.
Made, she's not being made to give it up.
Oh, hell no. Come on. No, even Uncle Walter Cronkite was a little traitor, little prick. He can finally tell the truth, you know. He's not on TV, so and he got his award. He got his award. He was all for one world government. He said the American people is just going to have to realize they're going to have to lose some of their sovereignty, and that's just how it's got to be. And no, it's not how it's got to be. Sorry. Asshole like him and Hillary Clinton, she was there. So, they, you know, they're all in it. And Agenda 21, I was telling people about Agenda 21 over 10 years ago. They called me a nut. I can still hear them laughing at the truck plant when I was telling them. I said, you better study. You better look into it. The United Nations, Agenda 21, now it's 2030. And like that guy said, now they pumped it up to about 2025, Agenda 2025, trying to get rid of people and get their land. Christ, you know, the three companies. Now, my memory is shot. So there's three, I don't know, companies. I don't know if you would consider them companies. What the hell are these? I don't remember nothing now. It's a blank. But they own about 88.
Raytheon.
And what else? Raytheon. BlackRock.
Yep.
There's another one that owns 88% of everything. So what they say goes.
Vanguard, I think, too. Is that what you're thinking of, Vanguard?
Carlisle Bunch.
Yeah.
That's the Bushes.
Yeah. Carlisle Group.
Yeah. And they arrive at their money when there's wars and they push for war.
Lockheed Martin, yep. The military industrial complex, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do nothing without these companies. So somebody's going to have balls enough to take over and companies up. There's, you know, three companies cannot own about 88% of the whole goddamn country because they're buying everybody. They bought everybody, Republicans, Democrats, it doesn't matter. They own them. And that's why happens.
Right.
They talk so big when they're on these committees, how they're going to, you know, blah, 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 and they sound so good. Reminds me of Trey Gowdy. I really liked him, but he didn't do anything. He was great in these committees, though. He looked really good when he was tearing up Hillary Clinton. It was awesome. What happened? Nothing. Nothing ever happens.
Need to cut these politicians' salary in half.
You damn right. Make them part-time. Make them part-time again like they should be.
Make them part-time. Make them pay for their own damn medical and all this stuff.
And the states
make
ought to
them
do
pay
the
for their own food.
Yeah, they
I
even
woke
got...
up on that one.
They got
I'm
their own... own barbershop, so they just go down in the Capitol and get a haircut, a sauna, weight room. That, you know, they're not better than we are.
They want to get stay in fit, get out in the yard and pick up damn rocks.
Shoot, you see, I shook Regal's hand. It's like I don't know, a little kid's hand. Little kid's hand. This is smooth. He ain't done nothing but pick up a pen in his whole life. But he got.
If you don't spend them campaign contributions, give them back.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was telling Cinnamon the other day that every September, end of August, September, you see a lot of road work going on, even if it's nonsense. Even if it doesn't make a damn bit of sense, you see road work because they got to spend that money or they got to send it back.
You know where you used to see a lot of that in the St. Louis area? Highway 55 coming down into St. Louis, the interchanges. Every year, they look like they tore it up and did it over again. They're spending money.
They were spending the money. So next year they'd come back to the federal government and request more money. And they do that in these generals, you know, they get so much money and they spend it, you know, like one bureaucrat spent, I don't know, $100,000 on his office alone, just office, just to get rid of the money. Now that should be against the frickin' law, but it's not. It's not. They should send every damn penny back that they don't use, but they don't do it. They just blow it. Just blow
it. The end of this month, September the 30th, is the end of the federal government's fiscal year.
Is it the 30th? Okay, I couldn't remember when it was. I know they have to start their projects, though. They have to have them started. The paperwork has to be done by August something, but in September, you got to see a physical something going on. And I remember, and I think Cinnamon would remember, that they had these cones up forever. But there was no work being done, and it was by a bridge. They were going to fix this bridge, and they just put a cone up and didn't touch it for months. Yeah, that's what they do.
Here's the thing. Anything that goes over the budget becomes a debt. It becomes a deficit and goes into the debt column. Now, what should happen, for every dollar you go above the debt, the next budget should be less that plus 10% less.
Well, that would
do
that
it
would
that way.
Yeah, that would stop it.
All
but they're not
going to
do this, Bianchi. They're not going to do it. That, you know,
they're not going to do it on their own, no.
They ain't going
to
do
it. You have to amend the Constitution to do that. But if you don't, they just going to continue raising the damn ceiling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they
and
keep
everything's
going
to come to an end. Yeah, everything's going to come to an end any damn way, so just cut out some of them programs. Sorry.
Yeah. You damn right. And look at these electric cars and how much these things weigh. Oh, Lord. They'll be tearing up the roads. Left and right,
and
these big old trucks
and the
with these batteries. Oh, bridges, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Well, I think that's going to, you know, pushing this electric car crap is going to end. I know Ford's lost a ton of money on their electric vehicles. I'm sure General Motors has too.
Yeah, they want to be subsidized for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, government will have to pay. And they will. And they will. Because, you know, it's going to be good. Good for the Green Deal, the Green New Deal. What a bunch of crap that is. I don't care what anybody says. That's a load of crap that people are buying. I just can't Smart people are buying this crap. I just don't believe how many, what I thought used to think were smart people that are pushing this bullshit. I don't know. What the hell is this? Somebody has sent me something. I don't know what the hell it is.
I'm sure you've heard the news about the government sending out rebate checks. Any single person that makes $99,000 or less?
Oh, shut up.
Just give me the strength to be able to go through the pregnancy, made my decision at that time. Women's Center called me out of the blue and said that they had a lot of stuff for me and they would like for me to come in. They gave me cribs and diapers and so much stuff. It's amazing. It touches my heart.
Hold on.
Did you know that there's a simple combination of natural
Jim,
ingredients?
Jim, I know you sent me this, Jim, but you didn't tell me where to start it at.
Went through to cover up for Hunter Biden and his laptop, and especially because there was such an abundance of evidence throughout the 2020 election that obviously this was real. I mean, we had photos circulating of him smoking crack, and people went, oh, no, this is Russian propaganda. I mean, how deluded do you have to be looking at an actual photo and to believe that it must somehow be Russian propaganda? What would be the Russian interest in creating propaganda about Hunter Biden? And of course, now, because time has gone by, because the media got what it wanted, which was an installation of Joe Biden as the president, they're kind of going, oh, no, there might be something here. And people are realizing, wow, the Department of Justice is implicit. We have members, former members of the CIA and the intelligence community, which are complicit, were complicit in issuing that letter saying, oh, absolutely not. This is for sure a Russian propagandist effort, even though they knew that the contents of the laptop were true. We're seeing that there are judges that are implicated. And people are asking the question, just how corrupt is the system? We talk about the deep state, right? People think that's just a trendy phrase that you have to be a conspiracy theorist to believe in it. This is what we are referring to. We are referring to people that have so much power that they can make stories that should be everywhere disappear virtually overnight. We'll just get you to stop talking about something that we should be talking about for months and have you focusing on something else. And that is what we saw with the Hunter Biden laptop story. So it amazed me, actually, when unrelatedly but also relatedly, Tucker Carlson was just speaking in front of a camera and talking about claims, the allegations that Barack Obama was gay, something that I've known for years. And people were very surprised to hear about it because, of course, there was a media concerted effort to suppress those stories when Barack Obama was running for president of the United States. Let's listen to what Tucker Carlson had to say about that.
In 2008, it became really clear that Barack Obama had been having sex with men and smoking crack. And a guy came forward, Larry Sinclair, and said, I'll sign an affidavit. And he did. I'll take a lie detector. And he did. I smoked crack with Barack Obama and had sex with him. Well, that was obviously true. Nobody reported it, not because they were squeamish about sex or drugs, but because the Obama campaign said anyone who reports on this gets no access to the Obama campaign. And so they didn't report on it. So that happens. That's just one small example, but that happens all the time with lots of different issues.
That's a pretty big one. The idea that the president of the United States was involved in having illicit affairs and the media was covering it up. And I'll take it a step further. I'll tell you what I heard. I heard this directly from the mouth of a Secret Service agent whose name I cannot remember, but who worked for Barack Obama and his family. And he said that while Barack Obama was in office, again, this is coming from a Secret Service agent, that they would help sneak young men into the White House. It was not a secret of sorts that Barack Obama was sleeping with these young men, and that was just a part of their job. Unbelievably, the press never found out about this, which happens sometimes. Sometimes you can actually drop off crack cocaine at the White House and they don't know who did it. So yeah, the government can be super hush-hush when they want to be. And of course, the media will help them bury those facts.
Okay,
but let's go backward because apparently this clip of Tucker Carlson is going viral because people...
Okay, Jim.
If you are
I'm
over
trying
40
to catch
and
up
stopped
with
working
the,
when she needs you,
this
you
is,
have to see this.
Gates.
Are you afraid your
Matt
buddy
Gates,
down there...
I think...
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy dropped an F-bomb while venting his frustration about the hardline conservatives holding up appropriations, dropping an expletive as he dared his fiercest critics to attempt a vote to oust him, chief among them, Representative Matt Gaetz.
He
Here to break it down for us is the Hills congressional reporter, Michael Schnell. Welcome. It's good to have you on.
Michael.
Hey, thanks guys for having me.
So we had this really spicy speech from Gates saying that there were all these agreements we made to get you elected as speaker. We talked about term limits. We talked about balancing the budget and the debt limit. We talked about releasing the January 6th tapes, subpoenaing Hunter Biden to the floor of Congress. And Gates was very frustrated that these things did not happen. So Kevin McCarthy giving this response, it seems like drama. Seems like the girls are fighting. What do you make of this debate between Gates
Hold
and McCarthy?
Hold on, we got to hear that
and
first.
Florida, Mr. Gates for 5 minutes.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair. We have had no vote on term limits or on balanced budgets as the agreement demanded and required. There's been no full release of the January 6th tapes. As you promised, there has been insufficient accountability for the Biden crime family. And instead of cutting spending to raise the debt limit, you relied on budgetary gimmicks and rescissions so that you ultimately ended up serving as the valet to underwrite Biden's debt and advance his spending agenda. Mr. Speaker, you boasted in January that we would use the power of the subpoena and the power of the purse. But here we are, 8 months later, and we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden. That's how you know that the rushed and, you know, somewhat rattled performance you just saw from the speaker isn't real. At this point, during Democrat control over the House of Representatives, they had already brought in Don Jr. three times, and we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden. Power of the subpoena and power of the purse. Only thing the 118th Congress is known for at this point is electing Kevin McCarthy speaker and underwriting Biden's debt. And unfortunately, there's only one of those things we can remediate at this time, power of the purse. Our leadership right now is asking us to vote for a continuing resolution. A vote for a continuing resolution is a vote to continue the Green New Deal, a vote to continue inflationary spending, and in the most troubling of fashions, a vote for a continuing resolution is a vote to continue the election interference of Jack Smith. Mr. Speaker, we told you how to use the power of the purse, individual, single subject spending bills that would allow us to have specific review, programmatic analysis, and it would allow us to zero out the salaries of the bureaucrats who have broken bad, targeted President Trump, or cut sweetheart deals for Hunter Biden. September 30th is rapidly approaching, and you have not put us in a position to succeed. There is no way to pass all the individual appropriations bills now, and it's not like we didn't know when September 30th was going to show up on the calendar. I must be better, you must be better, and this House must be better, for it is the last best hope for tens of millions of Republicans. We demand real oversight against this weaponized government. Just look at the bribery. If tens of millions of dollars flowing from foreign corrupt people into the bank accounts of the Biden family wasn't enough for actual impeachment, why were we even looking? Joe Biden deserves impeachment for converting the vice presidency into an ATM machine for virtually his entire family.
Whoa.
We all see it. We all know it. Now, moments ago, Speaker McCarthy endorsed an impeachment inquiry. This is a baby step following weeks of pressure from House conservatives to do more. We must move faster. Now, I will concede that the votes I have called for will likely fail, term limits, balanced budgets, maybe even impeachment. I am prepared for that eventuality because at least if we take votes, the American people get to see who's fighting for them and who's willing to tolerate more corruption and business as usual. Mr. Speaker, dust off our written January agreement. You have a copy. Reflect on the spirit of that agreement and build on the start that we had moments ago. Begin to comply. No continuing resolutions, individual spending bills or bust. votes on balanced budgets and term limits, subpoenas for Hunter Biden and the members of the Biden family who've been grifting off of this country, and the impeachment for Joe Biden that he so richly deserves. Do these things or face a motion to vacate the chair. And let me alert the country. A motion to vacate might not pass at first, but it might before the 15th vote. And if Democrats bail out McCarthy, as they may do, then I will lead the resistance to this uniparty and the Biden-McCarthy-Jeffries government that they are attempting to build. I know that Washington isn't a town where people are known for keeping their word. Well, Speaker McCarthy, I'm here to hold you to yours.
There you go. Thanks, Jim, for sending that. Okay, there you go. Matt Gaetz, at it again. What a guy. Joseph, you are right. You are right. Assholes is right. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Matt Gaetz has his finger on the pulse of the problem. There are too many damn deals made between the Republicans and the Democrats. That is true. There's no doubt about it. But like I said, when it comes to dealing with the corruption and the Bidens, no one in the Democratic Party is going to say a word, not a syllable. Nobody. So like I said, if any action is going to come, it's going to come from the Republican Freedom Caucus. And Matt Gaetz is one of the loudest voices in it in that regard.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I like Matt Gaetz. He doesn't care. I guess McCarthy dropped an F-bomb when he was talking about this. Well, you make a deal. You shouldn't even have to be a deal. You shouldn't even have to negotiate. You should do what's right anyway. Asswipe. People, you don't have to send me no more strike UAW stuff, please. You're tearing up my inbox. Ah, my gosh. People are upset, folks. People are upset.
Hey, where's Gene tonight?
I don't know. I talked to her yesterday, talking about the UAW, or a couple days ago, I guess it was. You want to know what I thought about this?
The UAW workers, man, they want to get 40 hours of pay for 32 hours of work. That's one of the, I don't know if that's a throwaway proposition to get the other things they want, but even I got to admit that there's no way those countries are going to remain solvent. I mean, those companies are going to remain solvent if they got to pay 40 hours of work for 32 hours of productivity.
No, that's a throwaway. That was just, it's what it is. It's a throwaway. And, here's the deal.
It's only going to make sense then, because I know they didn't think they could get that one over.
No.
May I speak on that, please?
Hold on. 2007, Gettelfinger was the president of IUAW. And General Motors was filing bankruptcy, and Gettelfinger said, we need to help the company. We need to give back whatever the hell it was now. And he said, we got the promise when they start making money again, you'll get your concessions back. Well, they started making billions and billions of dollars and have been for a decade now. And, you know, the president, the CEO of General Motors made $27 million last year. So, yeah, they do owe the folks. I'm a retiree from General Motors. I know. And I know what we gave up to help General Motors, and we did in good spirit. And now it's time to, you know, I was making $32 an hour working next to somebody making, I think it was 15 something. It wasn't even $16. That's not right. That's not right. They call them tiers. I don't. I think we have five tiers in our. We got a temporary, full time, or whatever the hell that means. And we got things I never even heard of before. Now, Adrian, you go right ahead and jump in. I know I cut you off there. Go ahead.
That's okay. I just wanted to answer that question about the 32-hour work week.
Okay.
In our orientations, when we started work, we were told that we had 32 hours is what made us full-time employees.
That's true.
So
that is,
you're getting paid for 40 hours. So now that's coming up as a negotiating chip. Since you promised that, why don't you do that? And this goes back decades that they started talking that. As far as these concessions, the concessions were made in like 2007, 2008 to keep the companies viable. They came to us and asked us if we would do this for them. And when they became profitable, they will return all of our concessions to us.
That's right.
They have not returned not one concession. I, too, am a retiree. But I was there when all of this was going on.
Yes, you were.
And to tell you the truth, the two companies that went bankrupt, General Motors and Chrysler, it was their second time of going bankrupt. General Motors really didn't need to go bankrupt. They had money.
Yeah.
That they were hiding. There's no way you could have paid off a debt in 6 to 8 months.
No, they had money. It came out that they were hiding billions of dollars.
So that they didn't have to pay those lawsuits to people.
That's right.
Because if you know, they went back on the lawsuits when the people started talking about them. Oh, no, that's under the old General Motors. New General Motors.
There you go. Yeah, the flaming gas tanks, if people remember. That was
right.
Yeah, that was they had some lawsuits going on, big lawsuits. And all of a sudden, the new General Motors wasn't about to pay anybody any money.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
So it's a lot of lies being told. There are a few truths coming through the news media with the so-called journalists, but there's a lot of lies. They're not telling you all of the picture. They keep saying that we're going to wreck the economy. No, we're not. We're not going to wreck the economy.
No.
Remember, there's only 150,000 active workers. So how does 150,000 people across the whole United States wreck the economy?
The economy already wrecked. Hey, if the economy wouldn't wreck and inflation wasn't to the moon, then people wouldn't be requesting as much. Hell, even Doritos cost about a dollar more a bag than they used to.
Oh, boy, my daughter bought me a bag of Funyuns, and it was $5 and something. And she said, do you see this price?
I know. I told Sima, don't buy me anything. Don't buy me nothing. She told me the price yesterday, and I go, whoa, no way.
Yeah, I'm starting to take twigs off the street and sucking off of them in order to satisfy my heart.
Well, I'm telling you, though, but no matter what the outcome of this, I'm pretty sure that pickup trucks that are costing 70 grand an hour are probably going to be 85 grand at least after this is over.
Now, that's
but
where
it's
I
not
was.
Our fault.
I was at the truck plant. I worked at Flint Truck and Bus. And let me tell you, I seen this Denali. I was working a couple on the final line, and this Denali coming down for the first time I seen one. $78,000 for this thing.
Right.
I could not freaking believe what I was seeing. Oh, my God. It was beautiful. Beautiful, but
sales are down now, and after this is over, no matter what happens, I can guarantee it, the price of every single automobile made in the United States is going to go up exponentially, and I don't think that's going to help sales.
Well, let me say this. Now, the price of all vehicles have went up, even though half the plants in America is working with $16 and $17 an hour people, and with all the robots they brought in, plus they didn't give anybody a raise for about 16 years now, or 13 years. Let me tell you that. And that truck prices, car prices went up 30%. So there you go. It's not because of the workers.
No.
Don't blame the workers, because they sure as hell didn't contribute to no price increase. So, you know,
I was just going to say.
Oh, go ahead, Ann.
Everybody gets upset about this. One of the things that Japan does differently is they cap CEO pay. Can only be a certain percentage of what the worker makes. And here in the United States, they can make like 100 times more than what the average worker makes.
Yeah.
And everybody turns around and blames the worker because they know what UAW workers get paid. Same thing for like UPS. They know what UPS gets paid. But nobody pays attention to what the CEO gets paid or the board of directors or any of the top echelon people. That's where the money's going.
It's
not going into the stockholders. It's not going to the workers. And another one that I keep seeing that's been pissing me off, and it started off with the UPS drivers. And he's going, you don't have to have brains to do this. You know, and he makes more than me, and I literally make a difference in the world because I'm an engineer. He was a programmer. And I'm like, there's a difference. You're giving up brain power, and the other one's giving up body power. You're going to retire, and you're going to enjoy your retirement by doing everything you want. You probably can be climbing mountains. Most physical labor workers don't. They'll go sit in a boat and go fishing. That's all they can do because they gave their body for the job.
That ain't all I can do.
No, but what I'm trying to say is they gave up the health of their body. They broke down their body to do this job where the others are doing with their brain power. So stop saying that these guys don't get this money.
Don't forget these new hires, these poor folks that they get to work on the line and bust their ass. They're not getting a pension. They're not getting full health care. They're getting screwed, and our union allowed it. But the price of vehicles keep going up, and we're getting cheap parts from when I was on the frame line, I was a quality inspector. They get the springs from Mexico. They got parts from China. And every time these things fail, it was always the worker. It was always, it must have been bought on a Friday. It must have been bought when the workers were drunk or staying at home or whatever. You've heard that all the time. No, it's because General Motors used to make their own seats. They did everything. So they were in control of quality, and you didn't have these callbacks like you do now. But it's not the workers' fault. General Motors is in charge of making or opening a business and hiring us to put parts on these vehicles. It's not our business to tell them where to buy it. So there you go. I just pisses me off.
And don't forget too, Don.
What's that, dear?
When you know that there's an issue with the product as it's going down the line, and you tell somebody that's in authority, they tell you, let it go on down the line. We'll get it at the end.
That
and when
is,
they get to the end, right. They just send it out the door.
That's right. It's buy it off. Once you get to the end, it's a bought off vehicle. It's a bought off vehicle, and they don't care. They'll get it at the dealership. I've heard that so many times.
Yes.
So many times. And I, being an inspector, a friend of mine told me about a dent. And we keep seeing the same dent in the same spot, truck after truck after truck. We told everybody that should do something about it, but they didn't. They said, we'll get it at the dealership. We'll get it at the dealership. That costs hundreds of dollars at a dealership. So that goes up in price. Just the crap that they send out the back door that could send a ton of money if they just fix it on the fly, on the line. Just stop the line for 2 minutes, you could fix most of the stuff. But they won't allow that to happen. I'm done preaching now. Can't blame them, but you can't blame the workers for the price of a vehicle. Not this time. Nope. Not this time. Boy, it got quiet. It
has to get resolved one way or another. The economy's already circling the drain, and it's really going to go down the toilet if the auto industry collapses.
Yeah, it probably will. It probably will. But it don't blame the worker. Nope. Not when CEO and all these folks, they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars as salary.
GM's president, isn't she making, isn't her pay 24 million?
I thought it was 27 million. Give or take a
27.
Million. Okay.
GM is 27, Ford is 29, and Stellantis is what, 24?
20, I thought, yeah. I thought it was more than
25 million, something like that.
Yeah. And come on, nobody's worth that. Nobody's worth that.
Now, it's my understanding that if somebody had invested about $32,000 in Ford stock back in 1999, it'd be worth about $12,500 or so today. And that's really, if you look at it, what the ratio of investment to stock price increases, that's a 61% drop in value in 25 years. Now, Biden says he wants to be the most pro-union president, and he won't even tell that to his supporters. Now, why did you get a 61% drop in value in 25 years? We know the car business is a tough business. You got global competition. You got the competitors to American cars using non-union, lower-cost, slave labor workforces. I mean, we got a lot of things that would have to be resolved to get this thing straightened out. And like I said, the American car competitors don't have anywhere near the problems they have to deal with because they could literally put slave labor to work on their cars.
Yeah, that's right. That's funny.
In actuality, in order for them to sell their products, they had to come here and bring their companies here. Because remember, they weren't here. There was only the big three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what Trump was getting them to do. Trump was getting more of these companies.
I'm not talking about a Trump. I'm not talking about a Biden. I'm not talking about them. Okay? Because each one of them have their own issues. And they have both done stuff or said stuff about the auto workers.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, you can be in favor of whoever you want to. I don't have a problem with that. But I do know that both of them have done or said stuff. I'm not going to ignore it. I don't ignore stuff like that.
Any company that relocates to the United States has to abide by United States Department of Labor regulations and everything else. They can't do what they do overseas. And I think the key is to getting more of them in the United States where they have to play by the United States rules if they're going to sell to the United States market. When they're overseas, they're not bound by our rules. That's why they can get away with all that slave labor.
Now, that's right. You're right
and
about
Trump
that.
And Trump was getting them to come over here and locate in the United States where they're subject to our jurisdiction.
They were here before Trump.
Yeah, but he lowered the tax rate for companies.
The other problem with them, they came over and they don't have the cost, the legacy cost that the big three already had. So they were new startup companies over here.
What's that noise?
It's not me, so.
I know, it's cinnamon.
Not me.
I'm sorry, that was me. I thought I had it on mute.
We know.
I mean,
yeah, some of the
sorry.
No, I was just
going to
say.
We could argue all these points over and over again, but if you don't really work in the industry, all you're doing is listening to what people are telling you. Us working in that industry, no more than what is being told to you. That's the heartbreaking part. Because you listen to people say things like, well, they're unskilled labor. Why should they get paid this kind of money? There is no such thing as an unskilled laborer.
No.
Everybody has to be skilled in what they're doing. If you're flipping hamburgers, there's a way that you have to flip that hamburger to make sure it's done. So, no, you can't just go in somewhere and just do these jobs.
That's why Adrian's on the UAW show on Sunday night at 7 Eastern Standard Time.
It's just heartbreaking to see,
well,
like
people,
I said, we gave up a lot of things
to
make sure these companies stayed viable so that they didn't go bankrupt. Because that was our livelihoods, too. And now you say, oh, you don't deserve this. We shouldn't have to give you this. But this was a promise that was made. Nobody talks about that promise.
Well, hold on for a minute, Adrian. Every time back in the day when we got a raise, the people, the companies, the little mom and pop shops, the stores, they benefited from us. And we had all kinds of businesses around our business. And as soon as we went down for a changeover for over a year, two or three of those businesses were gone when we came back to work. Gone. And then when everything really slowed down, business, even a bar closed up.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they tore it down. And best bar hamburgers in the world you could get there for lunch. It was great. But so when we got a raise, management got a raise. They loved it when we got a raise because they got a raise. They got everything we got. And people just don't understand busting your – well, I'm sure some people do, but just busting your ass. And it's not easy.
Well, let's take a look at what
happened
when General – back during the Obama administration, when Barack Obama bought 31 million shares of GM stock.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
They started with 500 million shares on it. And a taxpayer loss on the GM bailout was somewhere around $11 or $12 billion, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm suspecting Joe Biden is setting us up for exactly that sort of thing, only this time on a far bigger scale. Now, I do understand that the taxpayers don't own any more GM stock anymore, because the Treasury Department, which managed those stocks, sold the last of their shares back in 2013. But the point of it all is, there was still a big taxpayer loss of money as a result of that deal that Obama engineered. And I expect Biden to do some far worse when all this fallout hits the ground.
And they were told, the Treasury Department was told, if you got to hang on to it, and if they would have kept it for one more month, they wouldn't have lost a dime. But they wanted to get, I don't know what was the hurry, but they did. Go ahead, Cinnamon.
Yeah, well, I think it was just to have, just to blame the UAW workers again. I think it was that now the taxpayers are trying to save these people's jobs. I think that's why he sold it early.
Well, I don't know.
The American worker is the most productive worker in the world. Nobody can outproduce the American worker. At least that used to be the case. Yeah, an American worker costs more money, but nobody ever in history has ever outproduced the American worker. That's what makes the American worker so valuable. Now, here's the problem. What this damn government and most of these people in this government has done is reduce the American worker to be productive. We're going to be productive because of what they've done with this goddamn offshoring of all of our businesses and manufacturers, and giving these ridiculous trade tariff breaks to people like China and Indonesia and Vietnam and everywhere else. They have undercut our workers. That's a big, big, big part of the problem.
Nope. I couldn't say it better. You're damn right. Go ahead, Simon.
No, I was just going to say, when Obama went and sold early, I remember even CNBC, everybody was freaking out on why he was selling early, because he didn't have a reason.
There was no reason to sell early, and they said if you keep it, I think it was 3 weeks back then, but I think a month, they would have got everything and made money. But I have no idea, and nobody could explain it, why they would sell early, because there was no reason to. But you're talking about Ford stock. I bought Ford stock. And I bought it at $12 and, I don't know, some cents, whatever. I thought, man, there's no way that can go down. It did. It went down. I said, oh, my God, I got to get rid of this stuff. It was killing me. I got rid of it. But, boy,
man,
I thought
I'm
it was a good investment.
Yeah, well, look, you know, there's no way, you know, even though we understand we don't have a real free market anymore, which is a damn shame, because I think, I don't care what business you're in, I don't care what it is, I don't care if you're selling lemonade at a lemonade stand, I don't care if you're selling quilts, I don't care what the product is. Every product on the market should be subject to the normal free market forces that have grown up organically over thousands of years of barter between human beings. The problem is that the government has stepped in and screwed every damn thing up, and you had these corporate fascists that got in there and screwed everything up. But nothing, even in this government-controlled market that we got today, with the undue government regulation and every other stupid thing they introduced, market forces ultimately are going to prevail. And anybody who does not pay attention to market forces that Adam Smith outlined when he wrote that book called Wealth of Nations 300-some years ago is probably going to fail unless they get a government bailout. And that's what they've been doing every time they ignore market forces and they have to give in to a government bailout. So I'm just saying, you can't repeal it. It's almost like the force of gravity. The market forces are like the force of gravity. They're actually part of nature.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It really is. I don't know. People just...
We have to keep that in mind. If we ignore it, we ignore it at our own peril.
Well, that's what we've been doing, is ignoring the damn thing. Look where we are now. At Hawaii, Maui burned down a whole city, but we send $700 per family, but then we send billions over to Ukraine to make sure they get their pensions paid and their salaries paid. Isn't that something?
Get the $2,200 a month for illegal aliens coming into this country.
Yeah,
not forget that either.
No.
You say nothing what it costs to give them room and board and work permits and find them jobs. That's what they're doing. All of this is in violation of the law.
Sure it is. Absolutely it is. We give them iPhones. We give them iPhones. We give them money. They get free health care and a free place to stay and cash in their pockets so they can buy food. And they stayed and trashed that hotel in New York City, trashed it bad, real bad. And then they were protesting outside the damn hotel because New York City was moving them into a gymnasium. And they didn't want to move. And that's when the cameras went in and seen boxes of beer, empty beer boxes everywhere, 12-packs, cases. Just in a whole this trash sandwiches that weren't even touched, not even
and
touched.
Donnie, our burned out citizens in Maui get a $700 lump payment.
There you go.
What was that about? I still don't understand how they came up with the figure of $750.
$700.
What was it? The insurance pay. It should add insurance.
Well, the government is trying to take over that whole town. They're just trying to take over. They want that property. They want to turn it into a smart city. And of course, Oprah and all the rest of these people, Oprah's already tacked on 800 and something acres of land. I mean,
And the rock too.
And they're catching hell. They caught Oprah. They're digging into her stuff real. I mean, there's a lot of things coming up on her about young people. Not that she's a pedophile. I don't want anybody to think that, but she's been connected to it.
Well, she used to send women to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. Yeah, she used to hang out with him. I know that. But they're talking about the school in Africa. That's girls' school that she has. And she's the one that started it. So everything that happens in Africa, whether it's her fault or not, it's going to come back and they're going to blame her for it. I don't blame her for what's happened over there because she, to my knowledge, had no idea this stuff was going on with these young girls. So I don't want to, I got to give
but Donnie,
her.
You know what? Donnie, the United States had great big automatic automobile manufacturers who helped the United States win World War II. Packard, Studebaker, Nash, all those companies were enormous. Not as big as GM, but they were still big. And like I said, they helped the United States win World War II. After the war, those companies made bad business decisions, and they wound up going belly up. But the government didn't bail any of them out.
Yeah, you're right.
They didn't bail any of them out. They said, okay, well, you got the moral hazard of reckless investing in business practices, and your company's going to have to suffer for it. And that
was
what happened back then. And what we got now is these CEOs, these overpaid CEOs, do these reckless things. And by the way, a lot of them take a lot of that money that these companies make. And who do they funnel it back to? Democrats. We that was proven in Obama's election, his second election, and in Joe Biden's election. These people funnel money back to the Democratic Party, and in the meantime, they take the go-ahead to make reckless business decisions that wind up hurting the company more than it otherwise should be hurt. There's no longer
the
moral hazard of bad investments and bad business practices, and now we're paying for it.
And the Republicans get nothing, huh? They get
no
donations
from
these people.
No, you're damn right they didn't do anything. Both of them bear blame, but it's always initiated by Democrats.
All right. I'm not going to argue any points on one party against another. I'm not going to do that because they're all bad, both of them. And they have allowed corporations to run our government.
Now, that's true.
Yep.
Well, that's where our problem is.
Here's
that's
the
right.
news. ExxonMobil is going to start producing microchips in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah, I had heard that.
Good. It's about damn time.
Like I said, we got to get out of this corporate fascist government alliance. It's unholy, and it's wrecking the free market. It's wrecking it.
Yes, it is. It is. And people can't see that. I don't understand
no.
why they can't see that. It's so obvious, so freaking obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, two sides, Adrian. I blame both parties. The unit party is and people should see that. But they, you know, everyone. I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. No, you're both. You're both. You're uniparty.
Yep.
I agree with you on that.
The reason the car companies got involved in the healthcare business rather than giving their employees raises was because they had the wage controls that were imposed on the automakers during World War II, and automakers were trying to figure out, well, how do we attract people come work for us? So they came up with the idea of offering a health care plan to get people to come and work for them. That's how it all got started. The government prevented them from doing what they normally would have done, and they had to look around for other ways to try to beat out the competition in attracting skilled workers. That's how the car companies got into the health care business. And that was another big problem they had there. Again, government, you know, okay, on the one hand, the government feeds them. On the other hand, the government takes away. But whatever it does, it destroys the principle of free market principles that are always better than government-business cooperation, no matter how much they think, hooking on the teeth of the government benefits us in the short term.
I'm trying to think about that, yeah.
Well, they did. That's when they started offering, like, health care plans and all these other things, rather than raising wages, which was a typical way you beat. That's what Henry Ford did. Henry Ford offered the unheard-of salary, $5 a day. That was like three times what anybody was paying.
So
He said that every employee should be able to buy the product they're making.
Exactly. And that was the way, that was the traditional model of business. You know, generally speaking, you raise the salaries. Instead, they had to figure out things like health care benefits and all these other benefits and all this other stuff because the government forced them to figure out something because they wouldn't let them wages. And it became a habit. So the government screws up more things than it ever fixes when it comes to private. The government should stick to protecting the borders, making sure we got a strong and efficient military, making sure the laws are enforced, and a few other things. Instead, they get involved in every damn aspect of our lives and screw everything up.
That's right. They get involved. There's no way we should have a Department of Education in Washington, D.C. Hell no. That needs to go back to the damn states, period.
Exactly.
And Reagan did that. Reagan did that. He's the one that brought the Department of Education. He's the one that did that.
You know the good thing about that when you do things like that, rather than have a one-size-fits-all, when you do it by the states, you got 50 separate laboratories, and people can look around and see what works best.
That's
right.
They got
50 states stuck in it their own way, and some states are going to do it better than others. Some are going to really screw it up. Some are going to do a fairly good job. Some are going to do a damn good job. And you lead each and one of these individual laboratories, see which ones work best, and adopt those policies that do if they fit your state's situation.
That's right. I remember when people moved from Alabama up to Michigan for a job at General Motors or Ford or Chrysler. I remember them coming up here and wondering, school starts really late here. And because down there, they got out early for the planting. They had to plant. And they would go, they stay early or get out early to help harvest. The whole thing was situated by where you lived, like in the middle of the country. They had wheat, and they had to help with the farming. And
we do the same thing. Michigan was the same thing.
Yeah,
Michigan was the same way. Because you plant later in Michigan, but you harvest. You harvest through August. That's why they didn't start school until September.
Right. And I remember when Mexicans would come up and they would take care of our apples and our cherries. And when that was done, they would head down south and they would, I think it was oranges in Florida. I'm not sure, grapefruits, oranges. And then, that was it. They would head back home to Mexico. But they had little houses.
Yeah, they started in California.
Had little houses for them to stay in during the harvesting. And then they would move to the next, where part of the country they're needed.
Yeah, Donnie, they call that the Bracero program. And it worked very well. You had the seasonal workers come in. They worked for the season. Then they go back to Mexico when the season was over. It was organized. Yeah. The Mexican government cooperated. The United States government cooperated. They got work visas to do what they did. It was very orderly.
Yes.
I don't know why they stopped it. I guess with the massive illegal immigration, it just kind of died on its own accord.
Yeah, because they didn't
then
need it.
Then the government got involved. And started paying
the government did
big
the federal program, but it was done with a regard for efficiency and the needs of both the industry and the wants of the workers. So you had both sides benefiting. The United States government got something out of it, and the immigrants got something out of it. But above all, it was orderly. They would go back at the end of the season. They wouldn't stay in the United States. They didn't ask
for
welfare.
What I was trying to say is that the government got involved and stopped farmers from growing. They start paying them.
Oh, subsidies.
Not
oh, yeah.
to grow.
Right.
Yeah.
You're missing
yeah.
steps in there.
Good
yeah,
point.
More government. Yeah, more government. Yeah.
I didn't think of that. You're right.
Schools up everything they get involved
and they're
in
still
other
doing
than
that.
They're supposed to.
Yeah, they are still doing that. With milk.
They're
with,
still doing it.
Yeah, with milk. The guy... in Minnesota.
The dairy farmers?
Yes. He had to pour, I forgot how many hundreds of gallons of milk out that they were paid. They couldn't sell it, but they still had to milk the cow,
Right, exactly.
Oh, my gosh, you're right about that.
They're killing cattle in the Netherlands.
Yes,
they're
I read about
killing
that.
Thousands of head of cattle.
Yeah. Because of the Green Deal. It was because of the, that's what it was about. They were killing, they killed the cattle because of, that was the new Green Deal that they signed. And they're taking the farmers' fields away and keeping them from harvesting and everything else. And they're taking over. And
they're
what's
not
done.
Letting you use nitrogen-based high-yield fertilizer.
There you go. And Bill Gates, you wonder why he owns thousands of acres of land and buying all this farmland? You wait. You wait. That little weasel has a plan.
Oh, man.
He's eating bugs before this is over.
You know what? We might just need a revolution in this country because, I mean, what they're doing to us now is a goddamn disgrace.
It is.
It is.
And you're right. And a revolution is right. And I can't see any other way. I can't see any other way. And I'll tell you what, if you want something to bring the country together, I believe that'd do it. Just boom. Yeah. It's get
right
this
now,
straight.
Amazingly, oddly enough, the country seems to be somewhat in accord on one of the most divisive issues there is. And that is that Joe Biden shouldn't run again as president. I'm amazed by that. His own party is saying it. His own party, and they're saying it out loud. The media is saying it. They must have got their marching orders from him or something. They're saying it. Everybody's saying it. The Republicans are saying he shouldn't run either, although they probably want him to run because they know he's going to get his ass whipped. But nonetheless, there is a common accord that he should not run again.
Well,
he's been a god-awful president.
Yes, but
We didn't talk about this last week, but the White House sent out memos to all of the media and was pretty much blunt about it and said, this is a quote, "It's time for the media to wrap up its scrutiny of House Republicans for opening an impeachment inquiry based on lies."
Oh, man. Talk about a disinformation board. They're trying to implement it without officially naming it.
At the end of it, it says, it was a 14-page memo they sent. At the end of it, it said, "We hope this document helps provide you with factual information useful in your reporting."
Now go
dig up the dirt on the Republicans.
Oh, man, where's Joseph Goebbels need him, huh?
I wish they would dig up the dirt on Republicans, too. I want them all out. I don't give a damn. Do your jobs. Do your freaking jobs and go dig this crap up. Let's get them all out of office. Every stinking one of them. Damn, it doesn't matter what party you're
No, we're seeing it, though. More and more Americans are seeing it. More and more Americans are seeing it right. In the meantime, they've got
to
deal with the utter insanity of wide open borders, crime like you would not believe, openly condoned in big cities and whatnot across the nation. You're looking at this transgenderism lunacy and madness, craziness. You know, the book banning, our governor's up here just arbitrarily suspending a constitution, you know, and telling you that she's now the executive, the legislative, and the judicial in one person. They call that a Führer where I come from. I ain't never seen nothing like what we're seeing in this damn country.
No, you're right, Sarge.
They're not just pitting us against each other by money or race or political affiliation or religion. They're now pitting us against each other as far as generations. So I was talking to a guy, a customer service guy, this last week. I was trying to lower my bill, and I was explaining some stuff. I said, "Oh, you don't really care." And he goes, "No." He said, "You know, I got you." He said, "It's going to be a little different for you than it is for me." He said, "But," he said, "I can go out." He says, "I'm working three jobs." He said, "So I can go out and I can take care of this and take care of that, take care of business." He said, "You know, when you get older, you can't do anything about that." He says, "Some things have got to change." I said, "Well," I said, "I think it's up to you guys." I said, "We need some new blood in there." He said, "Yep." He said, "I think that's exactly what we need to do." He said, "When my generation comes of age and is able to run," he said, "we need to run and start taking over and start changing some stuff."
Well, have you seen the polls on college campuses and universities saying that socialism and Marxism might not be such a bad thing? There's more and more of an increasing accommodation. Maybe it's not such a bad idea to have a little socialism in the country, or a lot of it.
The person that I'm talking to, because he's customer service, so he's either in school at the time or he didn't go to college, and he's cobbling together, you know, his kind of life skill, because he would be one of the quote-unquote unskilled laborers. So he wasn't all for socialism. He was just saying the government's not working for the people anymore. The government's working for itself, and it's making things worse.
Fortunately, he's not for socialism, but such a trend, at least if you believe the polls, and I've seen a lot of them, and they all seem to say the same thing, more and more people who are coming of age to attain the levers of power in this country are comfortable with the idea of more and more socialism, especially from the federal government.
Yeah.
The only ones that I've been talking to are, like, the ones I work with. Everyone's when I talk to, you know, somebody I'll meet in a store or, like, the guy on the customer service thing. And they're for less government right now. If Ron Paul ran today and he, you know, because of the social media way things are going, the media couldn't black him out like they did back then. We would have Ron Paul all the way in the White House.
All these folks going to these Ivy League schools, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, University of California. Well, it's not Ivy League school, but University of California, Berkeley, and UCLA. Man, those are the ones that will be getting these jobs in politics and in corporate America. Look at what's going on in corporate America.
Let me tell you.
The ESG.
Once they get social credit scores and all that. Once they get socialism, say they go to do socialism, once they get socialism in and they see how that hits their freaking pocketbook, I'm paying for that bastard to be doing nothing. Are you kidding me? They're gonna turn around and stand back up and go, oh, no.
Hell, getting it out. Look at Venezuela. Look what happened there. One of the richest countries in the world. Not so long ago. Look at them now.
Yeah. Wait till a competent rat president gets in there. Not like Joe Biden, who's an adult, senile potato head, doesn't know what he's doing, and he's got a bunch of overeager advisors behind him. Wait till you get one of them in there that